Hey, welcome to episode 134 of the Crippled System Podcast.
I was going to do this before we started recording, but the whole point of this was to make it so that the bag wouldn't crinkle while you're recording.
Well,
good job.
Good job.
You're the one who started recording before I got back.
I just wanted to get everything going right away. Now I'll eat some.
Well, I was thinking of the podcast sound quality for you.
Our podcast sound quality is pretty fucking horrible anyway.
We are the worst. The worstest. Hello, everybody.
Yeah.
How are you on this fine Tuesday afternoon?
Podcast 134. I am Andy.
I'm Brian.
Nathan.
Yay.
Hooray us.
Yeah, holy fuck.
We have names.
That was amazing. We got everyone to actually say it in like a clean, concise manner.
Yeah, it was amazing if you ignore the whole clusterfuck at the beginning with plates and crinkling bags.
That's fine.
Okay.
I mean, I can almost cut that into, you know.
There you go.
And the chewing sound that the listeners are going to love.
Yeah.
It's really a win-win, lose.
I was going to bring sweet tarts because I went to Costco and they had, like, big boxes of sweet tart variety packs. And I was going to bring some of those, but then I realized that I will crack them like nuts with my teeth. I won't, like, suck on or anything, so. I decided against it, so this is right up my diabetes alley.
Yay.
Diabetes.
We should bring a whole bunch of candies that's names are different in other countries. Like, yeah. We could say, hey, we're going to have a whole bunch of Smarties, because in England, Smarties are like M&Ms because they're like little chocolates. And
yeah.
Australia, too.
Sure.
Not that problem, I mean, but that thing.
It's a problem. It's a problem. They're wrong.
Yeah, Smarties are Smarties.
Right? Yeah, M&Ms obviously.
Are
M&Ms. Yeah. Jerks. I don't know any other candies that have different names, though.
Yeah.
Sure.
Biscuits. We could eat a whole bunch of biscuits.
With gravy?
See, that would be weird to an English person. They'd be putting gravy all over their...
Gravy goes good with everything.
I don't know. If you would replace the fudge inside one of those Keebler Elf like fudge sandwich cookie things with gravy, I don't know if I could do that so much.
We'll try it.
Yeah. But again, then, who's calling it gravy? Because some places refer to, like, marinara sauce as gravy.
Gravy, yeah.
Or semen.
It's a liquid gravy.
They refer to marinara sauce as semen.
Jesus. I said, that's ridiculous. Gravy as semen, not marinara sauce.
So you, like, have mashed potatoes, and you're like, just pour some semen on there, but you mean gravy?
Yeah. Interchangeable.
Have you been watching...
That explains grandma's recipes.
Do you pay attention to... Or I'm pretty sure you all have ad blockers on in some way, shape, or form, but on Facebook, they have that little torch router for kids, and, like, they try to use the advertisements by saying, like, blue balls, and show a picture of a girl playing with, like, jacks and two blue balls, and then they'll say, oh, what if your kid looks up pearl necklace, and it's just, like, this lady wearing a necklace of pearls?
We probably search different things on Facebook because they target the ads to you. I don't have those ads in my Facebook.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
I guess they just look like pearl necklaces and toss salads too much.
Yeah, I think you look up that
on Facebook of all
places. No, Facebook pulls your other ads, your other usages, and advertises it. Because I've never had anything like that.
I checked out somebody's eBay, their ended eBay auction. So the auction is no longer existing, and that was on my Facebook wall forever. I was like, I already know it's ended. Why are you telling me to go to this thing?
It's fun to see people get caught by that, because like in one of the threads I'm on in some forum, the YouTube video was linked. And somebody responded to that guy. I was like, dude, the related videos are all shit, like, you know, mom, son, incest, and things like that. And everybody's like, you know, that's tailored to you, right?
Nobody blew up in my face. Maybe I care a lot about internet security.
And blue waffles.
Well, blue balls, this was. Blue balls. But anyways,
blue waffles give me blue balls.
It makes me chuckle like a kid every time I hear them say it.
Speaking of Halloween, are we going to have a lemon party?
Ooh. It's not a lemon party without old Dick.
So do we have any fun announcements coming up?
The next two weekends aren't very eventful, I don't think, right?
No, not at all.
The 6th and the 13th?
Nope. We have two slight announcements. We're going to have two pain trains coming out next week.
Two?
There may or may not have been one filmed 6 months ago.
Yeah.
That Andy's going to eventually release.
Yeah.
That movie, what the hell?
That's for later.
For Noah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a what the hell.
I don't remember 30-foot-tall rock monsters building the Ark.
Yeah. They protected the Ark.
You ever put the Noah one up?
Huh?
That's
no, yeah, it's just an old movie. Yeah.
So did everyone else. So, by announcements, this weekend is nothing, but the next.
This weekend's Halloween, motherfucker!
Not isn't so.
Nothing.
Wow. Halloween is the third best holiday.
Holiday, it's the best. It's the first best holiday.
Arbor Day.
Halloween's better.
National
Squirrel Halloween is the only day you're allowed to stab someone and they can't rescue for it.
That is
I
true.
Love it's my favorite.
It's in the law.
Like, you can go to the it's police. Basically the purge is what Halloween is. It's that's how it's been to me for the last 5 years. So I don't know really. I mean, that's just when I tell the police, I'm like, it was Halloween. Look that sorority asked now. For it.
It's like a hall pass for debauchery.
They wanted to see that movie Halloween, so I murdered them all. It was like they got to live it.
Yep. Live action horror movies.
I support that.
Yeah.
So what's going on this next weekend? This upcoming weekend.
I get a lot of sore
patch kids. Weekend is Halloween. We just said that.
Yeah, but I mean, what's going on, though? I thought we were going to try to force somebody to watch stuff.
No, they're busy this Saturday, so that's why it's not happening.
Oh.
There's a local hosting a board game thing, so we might do some board gaming that day. Other than that. So not much excitement for Halloween here. I would dress up, but then I would stab somebody. It's really, it's I can't not put on a serial killer outfit and then not stab somebody. It's like, why would you...
But can
that.
You stab people without dressing up?
Oh, yeah. It's one's optional, one's required is really how that works.
Fair enough.
It's like the whole crying masturbating thing.
Right. It's, and I love how the direction of that one is not what you'd expect.
But yeah, so there's that. And then obviously the week after that is the Gamehole Con, which we've talked about a ton. If you're unaware of it and this is your first podcast, I don't care about you. After that, it's War Machine Weekend. Everyone knows what that is, and if you don't, I don't know how you got here.
Yeah, Gamehole Con.
Because we are the official podcast of War Machine Weekend.
What?
We finally got a sponsor. That's how I decided we get sponsors now. We just say we sponsor. Because I mean, no one has ever said, you guys should sponsor us.
Oh, we sponsor other people.
Yeah. But so we're just going to say we're the unwanted spot, like until they sue us, like stop sponsoring us. So we're the official sponsor of War Machine Weekend. Someone should tell Carl.
We're Justin Bieber's official sponsor as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, obviously.
Just official.
Nah. No.
Until he sues us.
Yep. No, I'm off that podcast.
Too bad.
I'm off.
He's that. Number 7 on the list of the most Googled women. And I'm not even joking. If you Google most Googled women and pull up the article, he's number 7.
You know, the sad thing is the things I do with the top 10 women that are Googled. In my image search, just go to town.
Yeah.
So you've made it to 7?
Well, I've made it through all top 10. I'm like, yeah. Hey, it's late at night. He's an okay girl.
By the way, I'm putting quotes around announcements on our times here.
Yeah, I think Friday at Gamehole Con it's a 1-point deal, and Saturday's a 50-point steamroller, but with ADR mixed in, and then Sunday's a 35-point spell draft.
I was looking forward to Saturday, and then you guys told me I couldn't play.
I didn't say shit.
Well, I mean, if you want to, I was the one who was like, well, I need someone to help Andy, and I basically, and I called in for the tournament first. Like, if you would have been faster than me and signed up, then I would have been the one odd man out.
I never even got around to buying my badge, so yeah. I can't really.
Yeah, that's fair. The other announcement, this is tied to my recommendation, but you should, if you're on the computer, you should get Warhammer Vermintide so I can play with you.
Did I recommend that last week or did I
you
just
said you were excited
it was
for
okay,
it.
It was not my official
but
recommendation.
But it's out and I'm playing the PC and it's 4 players and it's like Left 4 Dead, so it's always you and 3 people or you and some bots.
Left 4 Rats.
Yeah. And I actually beat a hard mission with bots, which bots are terrible, but like evidently the people I was playing with were worse than bots. So once I got the bots involved, we took out that mission.
Sorry, Brian. I had you muted the entire time, so he was going, I can't hear Brian.
Son of a
and
bitch.
So then I adjusted your microphone, and they're like, no, other Brian.
So. I don't think he said anything worthwhile.
No, it was comedy gold, really, is what they missed.
Oh, you mentioned something about, you know.
Well, to be fair, there was awful things you mentioned about his Facebook browsing. So
and the now world, there's no proof.
Now the world doesn't know what his browsing habits are. So to be muted, that was pretty good.
Aw, man.
I thought
all that evidence you had out there.
Yeah, I know. Now it's gone.
We were talking everything tying to 13 Ghosts.
Yeah.
Somebody, here's an announcement. Someone needs to go out and create a super cut of the racism of our podcast. I want to know who's more racist time-wise, me or Nathan. He's more racist by nature, but who rants the race? Who's the longest? Like, if you had a like just supercut,
you don't
supercut a racism.
You don't want to see those numbers.
Oh, I'm curious. I just it's for the FBI. Just simple.
Are you an informant now?
No,
are you wearing a wire?
No, not at all. I'm just saying. I was talking to someone else again about how people do something and they get, then they always go back to their history and search.
Oh, you're going to run for some kind of...
Yeah.
If you've been on the Crippled System podcast and you're going to try to run for some kind of office, is a bad mistake.
We could never have a political... Not that we were going to. We've limited ourselves.
If we had a drinking game where it was take a shot every time you mentioned the Jews...
Yeah. That'd be bad. You've said many, many terrible things.
Will we be drinking juice?
But I say more universally terrible things. You've got a few specialties.
I don't disagree, but I think, Quan, you still get out there pretty good.
That would be really interesting.
And to be fair, have you seen a Jew? They're weird looking. But that's not the point of the topic right now.
You gotta keep Brian talking so I can eat all the gummies.
All the gummies, yeah. He's gonna get shut out of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I could see, like, pick a person, either Brian or Nathan. And then let's say I pick Nathan as my sober guy of the drinking game. Every time you insult a racial or ethnic feature, I get to drink water. But if Brian says something racist, then I have to drink like Everclear or something ridiculous like Bacardi 151.
Zima.
That way you're taking bets, yeah.
Zima is the Pepsi Clear of beers.
You guys hear about the Pepsi Clear challenge? I told Nathan about it. It's a challenge where you go and drink Pepsi Clear, but it's the Pepsi Clear from like the late 90s or the early 90s.
Pepsi Clear.
Correct.
Yeah, so you vomit as soon as you drink it.
The stuff is, yeah, it's basically Epicac? Is it what it is? It's basically that. Mm-hmm. You will vomit soon after drinking
it. You shouldn't drink any soda that's expired.
It's the same thing with beer. Like, I've seen people try to do that with old beers from, like, the 40s or something.
Yeah.
And they vomit immediately.
Yeah, you drink any soda from, like, the 90s, you're probably going to be vomiting.
I've seen people eating canned food from, like, the 70s. Like, they're like, it's still in the can, so they crack it open, and it's just congealed and green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Half-life is a thing,
I think. People do anything on YouTube to get views.
Basically, yeah.
Oh, somebody said Swedish Muslim Jeremy wins the most racist.
When I first
says anything racist at all.
No. He hasn't been on the podcast.
I do miss him. He's been in Guantanamo for a while.
Deservedly so.
I think when I listened to the Swedish Muslim Jeremy episode, I was at work still when they didn't block my internet. And
well, that's probably why they blocked your internet.
Yeah, because now I'm just looking for blue balls and pearl necklaces. But when I heard that, I think I giggled like a little girl for like a half hour.
Yeah, that was some good stuff.
Success.
So he's very camera shy. That's the reason why he hasn't been on the podcast again. You
know. Well, if you look like that, you're basically taking the worst features from every single bit of that ethnicity and roll them into one person.
Please tell us which features are the worst of each of those ethnicities.
Mostly this face.
Yeah. The facial region. Probably right where you get like the Swedish meatball cheeks.
Uh-huh.
And you're just too puffy and... No, I think that's probably the worst one.
What's the worst part of Muslim people? You made this bed, motherfucker. I'm sitting here.
You have a book on the topic. Why don't you just go through the discussion points?
Yeah, I guess. Maybe their nose. I don't know. Maybe their nose. Swedish meatball and the Muslim nose probably go a long way.
I've heard that that's the best thing to do when somebody makes like a racist or sexist joke is pretend you don't understand and just... make them keep explaining it in more and more plain language until they get really fucking uncomfortable.
I don't think I was that's uncomfortable.
That's fine
now.
For a lot of topics, so I just
yeah.
make them now explain I'm, anything.
It's now great. I'm envisioning Swedish meatball cheeks and a dick nose. It looks like a big dick just in your face. That's what I think of, yeah. Big dicks.
So why are they Swedish meatballs? Wouldn't they like basically be testicles at that point?
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like the nuts are up here, and then there's the big dick nose.
I like how you are his visual canvas for that.
When I think of a dick face, I think of Nathan Hoffman.
I got a pig nose. It's not a dick nose.
It's like Dan Aykroyd, nothing but trouble.
Oh my goodness, that's a movie that I regret every time I accidentally rewatch it.
Oh, lawyers, bankers. Oh.
Nothing Bankers. But trouble.
Yep. Like it's one of those movies that you think, like you convince yourself that you thought it up in a fever dream, and then you see it on TNT at 2 a.m. and you're like, oh my god, it does exist. Oh my god, Humpty Hump is in it.
Yeah, he is.
Jesus.
I think Tupac was in it. Either that or it's just a black guy who looks like him.
No, that's Humpty Hump.
No, I mean, there's him, but then one of his backup guys
That's just one of the guys from whatever his band is called. Underground, Travis, or something underground.
I thought that was Travis.
I wanted to say it was, I want to say Union.
Digital Underground.
Oh, man, those guys burned through those.
So that's announcements. Yeah, good thing we have our own bowl.
Well, War Machine Weekend, are we like...
I said it's happening.
Do we have an itinerary for that at all?
And he's doing a thousand things in the paint hall. We're doing a thousand things in the board game hall.
Okay, I'm going to go
do a thousand. I plan on doing scrambles all goddamn weekend.
That's probably what I'm going to do. Let me get drunk and convince people to drink Costco beer.
I got shitty list. I took my pig list. Excuse me, I'm going to burp.
No!
There it went. So I took that pig list I talked about, and then I replaced the models that weren't released and replaced them with legal models, and I played it, and it was okay. And then the other night, I made it actively worse, but I don't care because I put fun things in.
What are the unreleased models? Oh, the boars.
It had a splatter boar and Linus and Error. Burr, 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 burr.
Oh, yeah, Linus and Whistlebomb.
I replaced Linus and Error burr, 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 with Rolic Moorclaw and a Vanguard. Dude, and Vanguards will fuck you up.
I know. I'm not denying that. I just think that's interesting.
And then the straight downgrade I just did is I replaced the Vanguard and. The hell's happening?
Brian's
phone is making noise.
Brian's got this volume up Vanguard, on the show.
Oh my god, it's all apart. And I minimumed three of the units of bone grinders, and I put in a mangler on Rolic.
Nice.
Because the lightning strike animus on the Roadhog is just friendly. It's not friendly faction. So I can have a reach thresher with sprint going up against calamity units, and that sounds sexy.
It does sound good. Do you have bone grinders in there too? Or not bone grinders, but slaughterhousers?
No.
That's what I was curious when I was looking at Midas last night. It's a very ranged list. Yeah, because that's what I thought when I first saw it. I was like, I think he has slaughterhousers in it. Because Ethan and I were talking about it during our like 4-hour fucking game last night.
No, because they would die.
Why not a freebooter?
Sorry, something broke inside of me. I sadly do not own a freebooter. The only one I owned, I turned into a nomad because they don't blow ass.
Yeah. I have a freebooter.
Sadly, you do not own a freebooter.
No, I do not.
Yeah.
I have one for not. You.
I got two Mariners, though, because those things were actually really awesome, Mark Mariners 1.
They're not even bad in Mark 2. Their gun is really strong, and the loader requirement isn't that big of a drawback.
Losing reach was just hurtful.
Yeah, losing reach was very hurtful. Yeah. They became, not segued, they got where you put something in one spot to being a ranged model.
I think that's to be segued.
Sure, we'll go with that. But they got, yes. They're arranged only instead of been mixed. Nah, there's a word I meant to say. It's gone. Not allocated, exiled. But similar.
Exiled.
Sure. We'll go with exiled.
Yeah, they were exiled to be a ranged unit only.
More like
or a model.
Yeah. Nah, I'm not going to try and find your words for you. I was going to try, but I'm not going to.
So what's our topic of today? What is our feature discussion point to bring it all together to be the topic of our world?
Marshalling a mangler and a pig list? That's what I had. Hey, last episode I brought the movie Twins topic. Somebody else is responsible this week.
Oh, somebody should have posted that.
We can talk about Scorn for the next hour.
No. When are you going to do your Scorn episode?
We didn't talk about the new Scorn models in the new book very much. They were kind of glossed over. Like after the episode, it occurred to me, you know, Brian didn't talk about the Scorn models very much. So I actually do want to talk about the new Scorn models a bit because I was curious your input.
They're a thing.
Okay, good.
No. <So. laughs> Cross it off the list. They're a thing. They're all everything but the Hydra will be out by January, which is kind of exciting. Then like it's actually one of those things where the models cuz there's some of a trend of some models never being released
and that's relegated
that's more than half.
Relegated to being a ranged jack. Relegated.
That's what you get for being greedy.
I knew I would forget it 10 seconds later, so I had to interrupt you. Go ahead.
So there is Zal 2, which people knew before the book.
Mm-hmm.
I still can't make a list for him that I look. I make a list. Normally, I put a bunch of models together that form some semblance of a plan, throw it out, see some things that don't work, do work, and then, you know, tweak it from there. You know, with maybe, you know, 10%, you know, some effort of theory machine, just enough to get you out of the gate. But I can't get out of the gate with my Zal 2. I'm in the gate and I keep crashing. I'm like in a bumper car into the wall, just in a corner, like drunk. I'm trying to find the thing.
To me, Zal almost looks like it's kind of like algebra, where you know it's like solve for X. Like you know your destination. It's only with Zal, the destination is fuel transference. And then the whole list build just comes from how do I do that.
The only challenge with that is the meta is so built around just fucking destroying infantry right now that you're like, here's an infantry caster, and you're like, but that's the worst thing right now. That's like the one thing that I, unless you're like Doom Reaver advanced deploying super fast charging terror causing abomination immune to magic shenanigans, you just die in
a fire. Is that not what Kareks are?
They're almost. But I mean, there is a chance, you know, you're fueling
shenanigans.
Transference is an amazing, is a good spell, and you only have to, you don't need that many things to die because you only need to boost, you know, a few attacks a turn, you know, but boost those critical hits and those critical damage rolls to generate, you know, holes and punch through stuff. But his feat is such a weird thing because it only affects immortals and him and the Ancestral Guardians and Hakkar. And immortals are pretty cool. I've always liked them even before the new UA. Hakkar is always cool, but he has better homes. And Ancestral Guardians are okay at best. But
well, they fell so far from Mark One. In Mark One, they were inexcusably good.
Yeah, acceptably. They were at the proper power level.
They were Crixian.
Yeah, they were exactly the proper power level. You saw an Ancestral Guardian flying across the board. You're like, well, I'm going to die. And then you died. It was a very simple system. It worked well. Everyone was happy.
No. There's only one person happy, and that was you sacrificing all your models.
And it's like, oh, everything died.
I remember the one time that when I first saw an Ancestral Garden being used like that was because before when we had the Schism, and then there was the Misty group that was like you guys, and then there was the Pegasus group that was Mo and Trevor and me hating my life.
Yeah.
And then when the groups first came together, and I played a game against you, and I was tabling you with something. I was having a very good game. I think it was a bad matchup for you. I might have been even playing Crix or some shit at the time, because I know I was Crix and Trolls back then. But you were down to, like, a unit of Pain Givers and an Ancestral Guardian, and you're like, look what happens now! And you just killed all your own guides, and then the Ancestral Guardian went, like, 17 feet across the room and did 50 billion dice damage to my caster.
I was always able to line up my Pain Givers in such a way they could easily just, you know, hit each other in the back, and then auto-point, and then the Ancestral Guardian got max and souls, and he just went and killed.
I was so confused when you started doing it. And you're like, this guy attacks this guy. I'm like, why is he? And then Soul here, what? This guy attacks this guy. No! And as a Crix player, I should have known better.
Yeah. So, Zaltu has to have something about it. Like, I can't, my thought in the scoring stuff with Perfect Press is they're geniuses and they're a step ahead of us.
And they have to be. They're like two books ahead of us. Yeah.
Well, not even that.
He means they've figured something out. Like, the world is playing Scorn wrong.
Yeah, like, they just know something that no one that played Scorn knows. And they got some thing going on that just, it just feels like there's something missing in Zaltu. Like, we're missing, like, a beast that could be a statue.
A construct.
A construct beast. Because that turns his feet into a whole other world. Whole other world.
Yeah.
If
Wolds were in Scorn, Zaltu is just a pig in shit.
And he's got Mage Sight, which you can debate whether that's good or bad because we have Extolers, but Extolers cost points, and you can die, so that is a plus and a minus. Transference is neat. He has a Zal One had Hex Blast, which was really really nice, and he doesn't really have the ability to get rid of. You know, it's nice to have an anti. Somebody can Hex Blast remove upkeeps, and he doesn't have that. Envision's neat, but the fact he can get all the souls from himself is cool. And I mean, he can sunder. He has only nuke Sunder Spirit because when you can have at some turns insane amounts of fury, you can't give someone a too good of a nuke because he might be casting it three tar four times, and if it's boosted hit and damage, it's almost too good.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So he is in that weird place I haven't figured out yet. So maybe he's got something, but I don't see it.
Along the lines of the giving him too good of a nuke, you know who's really, really, really fucking good in spell draft? Yeah. Denny 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, look, I got a 3-cost nuke. Win?
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Yep. Well, the other thing, too, with Zal, so he's defense 10. He's 10-18. And, like, Kakar, or not, Rasheth is really bad defense, and that's fine, but he's so far back. Zal is kind of a mid-front, mid-ish sheet, because he's good enough that he could kill shit. But when you're defense 10 as a caster, you're not being missed, and you want to rely on a couple misses here and there.
It's so weird. It's such a weird stat line, because, like, Gorton's 13-19, you know? Like, even that high armor guy, they give him defense 13.
Yeah,
1018 is just sad.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird, it's a weird thing.
28 total is really low on stat total for caster.
Well, I'm throwing
speed. I mean, Rasheth is a 24 total, but that's an exception because he's fine.
Yeah, and he's 24 total and he's a mile back, and because of the impervious flesh of clay,
so that helps with the gun.
His armor is almost,
and he's gonna have a Kriya, so there's, and he has enough transfers and he heals on his feet. Well, so does Zal a little bit, but that's, you're never gonna be cast. So it's weird. So that's the caster. Then you have the gargantuan, and I think that all gargantuans should be Fury 5. That should just be like the baseline of everything. Just for a management of Fury as a thing, so you can actually put 4 on him, and then he can still transfer to it if you need be. But capping any gargantuan at 4, I think, is stupid across the board, regardless of the faction.
Yeah,
maybe not Circle because that's fucked them, but everyone else should.
Well, I mean,
even them,
Legion and Scorn don't have to worry about whether they're going to be able to transfer to their beast after they force them, right? Because you can force full and just have one random schmuck take it all off.
True, but So, I mean, we are the factions that take advantage of it the best more than anyone else.
Yeah.
But
I get your point, but it seems like apart from trolls and so fuck Circle, and then Legion and Scorn can pull it all off anyway.
Circle can take off if they have stones nearby.
But the stones...
But that's like... Oh, yeah, they can do that during their turn. Yeah, yeah. So trolls are really the only one that can't do it during their turn.
Correct.
But yeah.
And they are the ones that do have Fury 5.
Maybe you want to put him at 5, at least be like, you know, be able to pull. Maybe you don't want to transfer me. We just want that resource at 5. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so that's my... It's a complaint, but it's not like a... It wouldn't be like the killing blow of the model. He's speed 5, which is better than the mammoth. He's very powerful in melee. If that thing gets you in melee with the 5 heads, he's going to kill when he charges. But he's a very static charge. I mean, a lot of scoring can get him. You can get him +2 pretty easily across the board, and then some casters can give him 2 more. So he can charge pretty good, but Scorn doesn't need a good charging melee beast that's hard to maneuver on the board because of a 5-inch plate. And then the sprays, they're 6 inches. And that's a little rat. So if you put them forward and you spray 5 times, you're going to kill 6 to 7 models maybe. And then you're going to just die to whatever is you're that close to, whatever is 7 inches away. And his animus is neat because no shooting is amazing. But Crick's already had a good defense against shooting, and now you have to be within 7. So if you're within 7 inches of the Hydra, you can't shoot.
Yeah.
So what you can do is you can take some shamans and like run shamans everywhere and charge shamans across the board and all these weird angles and have them be doing like no shooting. But you know but they probably get charged and killed, and the shooting happens anyway. It just seems weird. I've put it on the table now. I've played the shaman. I just don't.
You can do the 10-inch spray with amok.
Correct. You can amok. You can get a very powerful if you take a Rhinodon. You can get a very powerful 10-inch spray.
And hey, you're a Rhinodon proponent.
I like the I do. I have 3 of them. I've used them, but I don't know. It's rough. The Hydra does not excite me.
Right.
Then you have the 3-man unit.
One thing that I'm kind of excited about, a side thing, we don't talk about the League models much because I don't think we play the Leagues very much, the 4 of us. I mean, I don't know if we just think that that's for new players or whatever, or why we don't, but...
I do enjoy them sometimes. The only thing I really wish is it would get out of my fucking war room, though.
Yeah, that is true. You should be able to just turn off League models.
Yeah.
You can turn it off when you're building a list, but not when doing card...
Correct. Not when you're looking card at leverage. Cards, which is just stupid.
But
maybe the war room beta will have a new war room.
You're talking about placing, you know, maneuvering the 5-inch base and everything. I don't know how closely you guys looked at the League model upgrades, but the Kador one of his upgrades gives him an ability called... I think it's called Siege Specialist.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is when a model with Siege Specialist contacts a linear obstacle, remove the linear obstacle from play.
Yeah, that's a nice one.
And so, you know, to some extent it's happened, to other extents it hasn't happened, but League models in the past have had abilities that then later showed up on regular models.
Correct.
And it'd be interesting to see an ability like that showing up. Because that is a complaint people... You would almost errata it onto all Colossals and Gargantuans, to be frank. But that existing is interesting to me.
What I think would be interesting and powerful, maybe too powerful, I think a large base, if it tramples, it just goes where it's going and everything, all small bases just get displaced.
Sure.
I mean, a medium or large would still stop the trample, so you're not trampling. There's still a million ways to stop it.
Yeah.
But that lets your medium base thing trample where it wants to go. It's still probably going to a very dangerous spot that could probably get it killed the next turn, but that way at least you get the maneuverability of going over things. So this monstrous thing should be able to run over these dudes and displace the dudes.
And frankly, if you're within trample range of a colossal or gargantuan, like you're, that should be dangerous. You shouldn't just be able to have a gobber sitting there stop it.
Yeah, or some stupid tough or one random tough model that just stops the whole thing from activating. I mean, what makes War Machines colossal so powerful is they are gun platforms till they get to combat, and then they're deadly in combat. And on the Horde side, most of the factions don't get that crossover. The Mammoth, I think, is the best example of a gun platform and good in melee. The Mammoth is great. I mean, as a scoring player, I cannot... it still doesn't fit in a lot of lists, but it still has a home. It can be used in certain situations, and it's what you want out of a gargantuan.
Yeah.
And I think the Hydra falls short, because, I mean, it'll fit in some lists, and people are going to play it. The model is beautiful. But I really think as a competitor, I think if you're putting a competitive list, a really good player can probably still win with it, but it's going to be, the list is not going to be efficient. I don't know of an efficient way to use that model where you're making a list better because you have a Hydra.
Sure.
Yeah. And that's where you're getting into like the main difference between a Colossal and a Gargantuan anyways, is that you're getting a lot of quality out of a Colossal and your points are reflecting that. But when you do it with a War Beast, like, you would break it down to, like, do Mulg and a Mauler, like, work better than a Mountain King? Yeah. Probably. Because
well, and Scorn has
so much more.
Scorn's heavies are stellar. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a bronze back or two of the Scorn shooting. But, I mean, there's all sorts of crazy 20-point combos you can take in Scorn that are going to get so much more maneuverability and damage output than a Hydra. But the Hydra looks so nice. Like, yeah, I wish its animus was higher. I just wish it was the range of its...
With 6-inch sprays, I mean, they really... It deserves, like, Rat 6. I mean, fuck you. If you get that guy close enough that he's spraying all... You should just die.
Yeah.
Like, if you're 6¼ inches away, you're fine. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, let it be this vortex of death where it moves forward, wipes out a shitload of infantry, and then it dies in reprisal, but at least it just murdered an area.
Yeah, there's enough things like the cock battle engine that just when it sprays is just because of its positioning, it's destroying everything. It's probably going to die, but it's going to just get its points. It's going to just lay waste to 10 inches.
Yeah.
So, God damn that thing. Oh, shit.
And I can bring 2 TEPs.
Yeah.
Which would get the 2 TEPs will get 6 10-inch sprays. They're only rat 4, which is one less than the Hydra. So it's only one less rat, but it's the same 6. It's 6 sprays, so that's 1 extra spray, and all of the attack and damage rolls are boosted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For 2 points less, that's 18 points, right? Yeah. And that guy's a flat 20, or is
he's
he 19?
He's 19.
So a point less, you're getting an extra spray. They're all 10 inches, and they're all boosted to hit and damage rolls.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Let the guy have rat 6.
Yeah, it seems like you should be, or
8-inch sprays or something. Being 6 and rat 5 is just double bad.
Correct. And say you can sacrifice all those for 1 10-inch. And a 10-inch spray is good. I'm not going to lie. A 10-inch sprays can be very powerful. But you're not going to pay that many points for 1 10-inch spray. That's not a valid use of its effort. You can't even if you do the Willbreaker extra shot, it'll be a 6-inch spray.
Right.
Because it's star attack. Which, I mean, and that's even fair, too. But it just doesn't quite have the kick. But, it looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't deny that. And then, so that's 2 releases that are... Isn't that
the third they fall under the bar? Yeah.
Then you have the 3-man. We talked about the 3-man. I know we were about to talk about that.
Yeah, because it was something.
It's basically that giving Scorn. Like I said, they're not bad, but like I said, if you ask Scorn players, what are the 10 things you want out of a 3-man unit? They aren't in the top 10. They're here's more of the same that will kill shit really good and has all sorts of neat melee tricks, but it's just a 3-man melee trick unit that has no other anything at all than that.
Somebody's mentioned about Tusks having a 180-degree sweep. That's not the case. So you still choose a weapon side for the sweep.
You choose a field of fire. If the weapon doesn't have one, you pick one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That would be a good thing if it worked that way.
If it was 180 sweep, then you'd see mammoths everywhere just going
even the 360 line of sight things, they still have to choose one of the 90-degree field of fires.
Correct.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that's what gets around that's what causes issues with Viros's jacks.
The one thing that I like, and that I think has been universally excited about, is the Scorn UA for the Immortals.
Yeah.
I used to play 20 Immortals before, just in certain lists. I kind of thought they added an interesting element that people weren't prepared for in Scorn, and they were still had to have enough armor and weird things that it people had to like change up their strategy a little bit, so I like throw them in lists. And the UA giving them the ability to potentially, getting corporal in the charge or get better defense. All sorts of like little maneuver, little things that really tweaks the unit. It's kind of cool. So that's the one thing that I think is really exciting for Scorn is the UA to the Immortals.
Yeah, and it's exciting in general because it shows what people have talked about. UAs are the easiest way to fix units in War Machine, I think.
Or adjust them so you think of them in a different light.
Yeah.
I mean, like, slip away on your Bushwhackers.
I have a story about that.
But it's the easiest way to
either fix. Did it work out for you?
Oh, did you, like, win a game because of slip away? Holy shit. Oh, God. Go. Is he muted? Don't make sure he's not muted.
He's not muted.
There was, I played in a league-style tournament in Janesville, and I did, on my third day, I had gators tying up my pigs, and the thing I hung my head in shame, and I was like, I really could use slip away right now.
And then you threw the trolls in the garbage and gave up on the game.
No, I just killed Reshef. That was it. But so, yeah, I did see the handiness of having slip away on them as another tool in their kit to use. I just, the way I've played them before, I've never had anything rammed down my throat that much with him.
Oh, nice.
So
You'll see that more and more, though. So I think, but anyway, back to Scorn because I don't care about your
trolls. Well, it was Scorn related.
Yeah, true. One thing a listener mentioned is the five head, the multiple head rule is really cool. So that's one thing the Hydra has. So I mean, he can charge in and bite, and then he can do a spray down an angle on some kind of cool model if he needs to kill a key model. So having to be able to choose what you're doing with each head when you go into battle is a really neat thing.
Is that what Typhon has already?
Yeah, it's Typhon. Yeah. Has. So yeah. I mean, that I cannot in no way say that's not a. So I mean, that's why you can charge in, get the extra distance, and you can get your spray. So charge and then you know one bite attack and four section sprays.
Yeah.
That are gonna miss. But you know,
well, yeah, like going you'll in
boost,
and putting, like,
I mean, you'll boost the one if you're doing that for the one critical, you know, UA that you want to kill or the one special model you want to kill. But you're still hanging in the wind.
Yeah, going in and putting like three attacks into a heavy to kill it, and then taking out some infantry or support around it with the sprays seems good. I think that might be like how he surfaces as being like a piece for Scorn to use. But it is difficult. Like I think. Another issue with the gargantuans in general is just like having that many points tied up in something that you're feeding off of as a resource is really harsh. And I think that's why you see troll gargantuans more than anything, because they can bury them and they have, you know, three casters who have feats that make it really bad to try and attack them. And they have the armor buffs to make them actually survive that. Whereas like the rest of the factions just don't have it.
Well, and that's the thing too with gargantuans right now is one of the biggest, most common skews in the game today is armor skew. Mm-hmm. So when you're going somewhere, people have to be able to drop things way tougher than a Hydra that's only armor 19 and has 40 health box. I mean, they got to drop things that are armor 24-ish and have more health boxes. So if you're on, I mean, and you have, if you go to a tournament, you need to account for armor skew. So it sort of weakens everything that's not armor skew but needs one that wants to survive around. Because I think a lot of gargantuans would, where if they could survive a round of being attacked and they could still get two rounds out of them, that would, the value might be there. Mm-hmm. But so many gargantuans can be one rounded because people need to plan for those that aren't easily one rounded. But everything else suffers just by.
Yeah, like if the Hydra jammed in there, killed some stuff, almost died, and got another turn of reprisal against the things that almost killed it, that's way better than just killing a half dozen things and then die.
But any good list is going to kill it. I mean, it could. It's not going to die every single game, but that's going to be a combination of just people who aren't planning for armor well, and that's their fault, not the list's fault. That's them failing, not the Hydra failing. Or then there's the occasional this bad dice where it lives. Mm. But in the reality of the scenarios, he should die every time after it goes in against majority of lists.
Yeah, and that's where you have to make like the quality trades with your or your gargantuans instead of the quantity ones where it's not point for point. You're like, okay, well, I got Ion and Holt with my Mountain King. I'm okay with it dying now.
Yeah, you got to kill the key. You have to kill the linchpin of the opponent's army if you're going to sacrifice.
And so you got that 10-inch amok spray.
Yep.
And then the infantry all comes in and kills them, so that infantry is in a perfect arc, which means your Rhinodon gets to amok itself, go in there and thresher those motherfuckers.
Perfect combo. Rhinodon's coming perfect to bring it together. Combo. Here you go. I'll throw down a Rhinodon, a two Rhinodon Hydra list, so that we can go into both sides and just really maximize the effect.
Couldn't you have it be protected somewhat by sentries? put like two heavy sentries on
what I've seen some people do, which is pretty cool, is when they run, it's going up a field, they throw kind of like brutes on each side, so people charge three of the brutes. I mean, just even two brutes is a pretty good blocker, because they have their, or in sentries with two, because that two sentries, or one, a sentry on one side, you have to protect it, but then they're really far out of place, and they're kind of, they're slower than he is, so they're just running and not putting a blocker. Because if they could get ahead of him and put a blocker, that's pretty cool. But he has such short range, then they have to get out of his way for him to get in, which is the other challenge.
Well, if they run and then he advances behind them, he can always be like one sentry in front of him.
Helps.
Just because of the way that locker animus works. Yep. Oh, no, I guess they can't run because they have to animus. So they'd have to animus and trample.
Well, turn one, they would run, and then they'd have to charge animus. I mean, if you use sentries, you can definitely keep it safe, but I'd rather have them be keeping a mammoth safe, in all honesty, who's shooting much heavier things and much more effective. Because keeping a guy who can shoot forage pie plates will be effective every turn. But if your sentries are in such a way keeping your hydro safe, you're maybe only getting advantage of the range 10 spray, and he's still behind him far enough. You're only getting a couple models.
Yeah.
That definitely is a way to help keep it safe. The double sentries can really keep the board safe. I mean, I was even playing double. I was trying the new the soldiers instead of the new bugs.
Yeah.
They don't quite have the same. They have the reach and stuff. They're not as dirty as a sentry, but they're still pretty damn tough and mean. You get them up there, and people have to deal with them.
Mm-hmm. What, speed 3, though? That's rough.
Yeah, but I mean, I play them with someone who's giving them, like, a mobility, like Xerxes, you can rush them, or they can just run. I mean, there's speed 3 is bad, but there's ways around it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you were talking earlier about the gargantuans in comparison to Colossal, where it's like the Colossals are just like this shooty engine of destruction, that's how I was feeling about the Mountain King during that Janesville thing, because that, when you put Far Strike on that thing, it becomes a nightmare.
Glacier King.
The Glacier King. But that thing just becomes ridiculously good because and not only are you shooting things with like a high pow weapon from downtown, like 16 inches, but you're getting three of them and you're pushing things back. Like I felt like my Glacier King was sitting there with his hand on a Bronzeback's head the whole game just because he couldn't touch me.
Well, the Glacier King under Gunbjorn with Far Strike and then so the good. Guided Fire.
Yeah,
it's
Guided
just
Fire.
Absurd.
Yeah, fully boosted. Those
three
shots,
fully boosted shots at 16 inches from that guy every turn. It's sexy as hell.
Yeah, it is. It was
it's
a really
like
good
not
turn.
Okayness.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then you look at like the Storm Raptor and like the Wold Wrath, and those guys just they don't measure up for that.
Yeah.
So that's Scorn.
That's Scorn. Scorn, we mentioned before.
Are you excited about any of the minions? I'm sorry, you were about to say
minions,
thing,
yes.
Before we say and that Scorn,
well,
any of
the minions
that work for
the
Crocraiders,
Crocraiders are amazing for Scorn.
Incendiary, I become grotesque with those.
They're
guys.
Just good to have that many units up front. I mean, I'm only going to, I have one unit, but I've thought about maybe doing a Rishest theme with two units in front.
Mm-hmm.
But so the Crocraiders are great. The ambushing guy is kind of cool, which could fit into Scorn. Yeah, he could do some cool stuff with Scorn. Do they get the duo team work for them? I don't know if that, I forget if those two.
Bomb and I don't think so, but I can check.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But even the if you want to take the pigs and add in the AOE, the 5-point troll. Flaming Fist. What's it called?
The splatter boar.
Splatter boar, I think, could fit into Scorn in a lot of ways. Because
that animus. You don't have a damage buff animus, do you?
Not for minions. And it's still friendly. The damage buff. It's plus. It's minion or it's friendly.
Well, friendly faction.
But I mean, Scorn is all about Gatorman. I mean,
yeah.
So Gatorman are suddenly plus two more power and whatnot easily. And there's other ways that make them better. I have Taskmasters, which is another plus two. Mm-hmm. I can Fury. I mean, there's all sorts of things you can do to make Gatorman hit like a goddamn truck.
Yeah, that was a scary moment for me, too.
And if you take Rorsch and Brian, who are good, and you just add a splatter board, then you even have they're shooting like crazy anyway, so they're moving
the
up AOEs, the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not a bad investment.
The humans do not work for Scorn.
But there's some good there are some good minions that are going to change up Scornless, so that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, the Crocraiders are just changing the game a bit. Not like they're completely flipping it on its head, but they're like everybody wants a piece of those guys.
Jim has got his double Crocraider Cassius list, and he's been wreaking havoc on it, pulling off. He's been just removing fucking Colossals from the table like nothing.
Yeah,
yeah,
they happen.
I will be happy when I'll be happy until he actually gets the Crocraiders because They're completely out of sale.
Well, I told him, he paid for them from the store. And I obviously, buying local, I will always support buying local. But when the phrases are out, currently out of stock, at the, you know, they're not in print or they've sold out and they're not available for a while, that's when I go to the internet. Like, when I can't buy and the it's a question mark when they're going to be released, I want to see who has them in stock online. I buy them that day because I just want that. I'm not going to wait X amount of days.
You give the store first crack.
Yeah.
You know, but...
Yeah, and even then, though, like, if the distributor is the one that's controlling it, like, Privateer Press is out, they're working on a restock, then the distributor will get it, and then who knows who gets it from there, so you don't even know if your store is really going to get what you need.
Yeah, but he's in the middle, but he has a lot of models to assemble right now, so it's not, if it does take, he said, you know, if when he gets everything assembled and everything ready and they still don't have it, he might go another route, but... They'll give them a few weeks.
Yeah, I tried looking on Bartertown for them, and basically everybody in Bartertown wants them. Nobody wants to get rid of
their Crow Craters. Yeah. Like, that's not a thing.
But the thing is, I found multiple stores online that's selling them. I found multiple places that sold them. I mean, they're easy to find. Yeah. I found multiple locations. I'm like, Jim, I can order you two right now.
Those are people that stocked up. You know, Bartertown's going to be people getting rid of their stuff, which is different than something like Miniature Market that bought a case of them and is now still able to sell them.
I mean, what Jim, he could always check out Misty Mountain, too, and...
Misty doesn't buy new things for War Machine anymore, sadly.
Yeah. No. It's nice to go find some, like, cool old stuff, like the old Devastator I saw.
Yeah. Well, Ben was like, man, no one, when I run War Machine tournaments, no one spends any money here. I'm like, well, you have nothing current.
Yeah.
And, I mean, people, I'll do spontaneous buys whenever I go to a game store, but it's usually for a quasi-newish thing. It's not usually for that thing that's 7 years old that I already have eight of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it doesn't seem like they... support the game a whole lot. It seems like there's always people who say they want to go out and play, but they never really do, so new players won't sign on to it. So all that stuff that he has that's really good for a new player to get into the game, they just don't have that movement.
They play occasionally on Tuesdays still, but the east side of Madison just does not have a community as well. And those that do just come over on Wednesdays and play, because Peg is so busy all the time.
I lived on the east side, I was pushing the Tuesday Misty thing a lot more, but now that I live over here as well, I just, you know, I'm a hypocrite.
To be perfectly honest, it's really traffic now. I mean, trying to go on the Beltline from west side to east side over by Misty is a hassle.
It's always been awful, and now there's construction, which makes it
even worse. Now it's going to be winter soon. Yeah. That's going to be even worse. So I like
a good album.
Even winter soon.
Even worse.
Or even worse. Oh, yeah. Mm.
It is.
Mm. It is.
Yeah.
You Make Me is one of the best songs ever.
Yes.
That's true.
That's a topic. Let's just talk about our favorite Weird Al songs.
Why are you looking at me? Do I have to start
first?
I don't have to start it.
All right, I'll go Stuck in a Closet with Vanna White. Classic, timeless quality.
On Even Worse.
Yeah, on Even Worse. That's a great... You're right. That is a great album. Then a midget pushes me through a revolving door. That's from Stuck in a... See, I'm naked in church when I meet a dinosaur, try to run, but my feet have been nailed to the floor.
I Want to Do Duck, I think, is still my favorite.
Yeah.
Classic.
Huey Lewis.
I know.
Oh, is that who it is?
Yeah.
I Want to Do Drug is the song.
Duck. He said duck.
I know, but I'm saying the parody song.
There is, because of age and everything, there was a non-negligible number of songs that I heard the Weird Al version before I knew that there were non-Weird Al versions.
Yoda, I didn't know there was the big Lola. One for me,
Stop Dragging My Car Around. I didn't know, I thought that was just an original, Hey Ricky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I've heard of the, I'm like, well, they're playing Weird Al, it sounds wrong. And I'm missing a random story. It doesn't sound like Weird Al at all. What's going on?
This goes into a topic that we were talking about too on the way back. Or movies or songs that have been ruined by movies.
Oh, yeah. Well, because Stuck in the Middle with You was on the radio, and it's impossible to hear that song without seeing a cop's face being mutilated now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And dancing to it. I always strut when I hear that song.
Yeah.
Even.
Can you hear this?
Oh, man. Now, my favorite Weird Al song is Dare to Be Stupid, which is an original myth sound like the Devo. Mm-hmm.
It is a classic.
It is part of one of the best soundtracks ever made.
UHF?
No. The Transformers soundtrack.
Yes. UHF has Biggest Ball of Twine in Minnesota, which is such a triumphant song. It's not even in the movie, but it's on the soundtrack. Mm-hmm. And this is, see, I like Weird Al, and I bought all of his albums, and I watched UHF, and I owned UHF, but I never got around buying the UHF soundtrack. So years and years, like post 2000, like 2002 or 3 or something, I went to Weird Al concert and heard that song for the first time in my life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and everybody's singing along, and I'm like, how do you know this song? I've never heard it in my life, and I own all of his albums, because I just never got around to buying the UHF soundtrack. I was so ashamed of myself.
You should be.
I am.
I've been buying all this stuff digitally now. Every like couple weeks, I just buy another album digitally. Okay. I he's in my budget. I have a Weird Al budget as part of my every like two paychecks. Weird Al album. It's just a constant evolving MP3 budget.
Yeah. Well, it's like food, shelter, Weird Al.
Yeah.
They are.
Well, I'm also on this kick where I'm trying to rebuy everything I've ever pirated.
Sure.
So it takes like. For whatever reason, when I was young, we pirated, and I think we mentioned, like, I was in college when Napster first existed. So I was, like, on a school campus when, like, the concept of downloading everything just hit. I mean, there was things before Napster. There was, like, you know, also, but it was complicated. It was, like, news groups took effort to download, and Napster was the first, like, click a button, you get what you want.
And then go to school and come home, and you have 10 albums.
Well, yeah, and you're at school, so it's like the bandwidth is insane, because the home bandwidth wasn't as good back then.
Yeah.
So you're at school, you're like, I'll click all these songs, and now they're mine. I don't know what these songs are, but I have them now. It's amazing. Like, I had the worst collection of music, but it was free, and I just pressed buttons, and it kept coming at me.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, like digital hoarding. Yeah. I did that, too, for a really long time.
But I'm so against... But I don't know. Eventually, it clicked in my brain that that's stealing. Like, I still have friends today that still do it. And they're like, on my trip, my coworkers, who are the most uptight, responsible, by the book, do everything right, download thousands of often things. They download their movies and their TV and their all their stuff. And I'm like, would you walk into that store over there and take that off the shelf? Like, of course not. Well, that's in my mind, you're doing the exact, you're stealing. And if you can justify, well, I do it because of the blah, blah, blah. You're stealing. You're 100% a thief. And I'm 100. I've over the years, I've just accepted that I was wrong and I was just, you know, fooling myself.
Yeah.
So
I will never. I even if without the moral, like that theft thing, you shouldn't,
thefting.
Even without the that theft thing, sorry,
thefting. But
yeah, thefting. Even without the thefting, the reason in my mind that you should never pirate something that you like, because like they don't know, like, if I want Dread 2 to be released, Dread 1 needed to be profitable. Yeah. And the only way that Dread 1 is profitable is if I paid for tickets, paid for the DVD, you know, paid for that shit.
Paid for Netflix.
So if I sneak into the movie theater and if I pirate the DVD, if they never got a penny out of me, the executives don't go, oh, well, actually, all these people really like it. They just didn't pay for it. Well, number one, even if they knew that, fuck us. Why would they bother making a sequel? And number two, they don't know that. So the only, you vote with your money. The only time I'll pirate things is if you literally cannot get them.
There are certain items that you can,
there are many TV series that I have owned, quote unquote, air quotes, because of downloading them off the internet onto just burnt DVDs, and then as soon as I can pay for them, I'm like, great, snap, here's $50.
Yeah,
there are certain shows that just simply do not exist in today's market to buy. They were on TV once, and that company just didn't want to make the DVDs for whatever reason.
You know what's really frustrating? What can also happen that's really frustrating? So, DuckTales is a horror story for people who like a series. Let's say you're the biggest DuckTales fan. You loved it as a kid, whatever. So this number might be wrong, but I'll just say 5 for the sake of the story, that there's 5 seasons of DuckTales, okay? 4 seasons came out on DVD, like 1 year after the other, and the sales just weren't good enough, so the 5th one never came out. So you can own 80% of the series on DVD, but not the last season. And that's got to be super frustrating. Imagine if they did that to, like, The Wire or something. Just the last season wasn't available.
Or Breaking Bad.
Yeah. You can have the first 4, but season 5, nah, fuck you.
Yeah, Megas XLR is a big one like that. That one I actually paid for. It's actually still on my Xbox. Yeah.
Two guys that grow in a pizza place, you can't get it anyway. Haunts me. I want to watch that movie.
You were talking about using Napster. Napster actually opened me up to find music, and actually that's how I used it to preview music, and I always bought music from that. Most of my collection from European metal bands is all from Napster itself.
Yeah.
And
Well, using it like as a sampler platter, you know, kind of thing. But again, that's the thing, it's the voting with your money, you know? Mm-hmm. If you pirate every Iced Earth song, they never sell an album, right? So why would you do that?
Yeah.
I agree. And I am happy that things like Amazon do have like the preview buttons for some of the songs. It's not like download, because you only get like some, you know, 30 seconds of it, because they can't do too much of a preview. Otherwise, people would find a way to like just hack through that. But it just amazes me that some people I know are so like, I would never do anything wrong, except I'll steal all this shit.
Yeah.
And then if you say, well, you know, you're stealing, they get so offended. They're like, oh, no, I'm not stealing. It was downloaded. I wouldn't buy it. I wouldn't, you know, they have all these weird reasons why it's okay. I'm just like, it's weird. It just drives me nuts.
Well, it's just like the act of actually stealing, like how we frame what stealing is taken away from downloading on the internet. Like, you don't...
Like, I want to go into their house and, like, take something from their house and say...
Well, it's not physical. You know,
I know, it's not physical. It's not there. I should hack them.
Having worked in a print shop, it's amazing how confused and angry people are when I wouldn't print copyrighted things.
Yeah.
You know, they'd come in with a book or something, and they'd be like, yeah, just, you know, copy this whole thing. It's like, well, fuck you.
Yeah.
Go buy, but I need another copy. Then go buy a second copy. It's $20. If you need it that bad, spend your $20 for a second copy of the fucking book.
Yeah.
You know? Don't, what are you? You know? You can't do that with a movie. You don't buy Blade Runner and go home and just burn 50 copies and give them to your 50 friends. Or if you do, you know that that's illegal.
Yeah.
But for some reason, like with,
it's just wrong too, because it's Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Poor Wesley Snipes.
Are you making replicants?
Wesley Snipes.
What Blade Runner have you seen?
Oh no, not
not mind. Blade.
I'm thinking
Blade Runner.
Blade Runner.
I want to mash those movies together now.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just
Wesley
like,
Snipes hunting replicants.
When you
Wesley Snipes as a vampire hunter who's also a Jamaican bobsled team captain. That's Blade Runnings.
When you went with Blade Runner, I just thought of Tu Wong Fu. Thanks for everything.
What? Why would you think?
Because I had this weird gap to Blade and then back to that, and I was like, I just, for a short moment, it was just a small drift of thinking who was a better woman. And I think it was John Leguizamo.
Oh, John Leguizamo was fuckable in that movie. Not even going to lie, okay? Wesley Snipes does not pass as female film
Patrick
at all.
No, Patrick Swayze a little bit.
You know, no offense to actual transvestites who unfortunately were not gifted with feminine features. You know, live how you want to live. But Honky... He looks okay. He looks like a woman. But John Leguizamo, I'd hit that.
He sold it.
It's very disturbing to me, even knowing it's John Leguizamo, because I'm like, who's that hot Mexican girl?
We've had some recommendations to meet Brian again.
That was almost one of my movie twins things, except I didn't check the years, but in my gut, I don't think they came out near to each other. All if they did, that makes it a movie twin things, was Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar, or The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Oh.
Which is the better transvestite film?
Birdcage.
Birdcage or La Cage aux Folles?
I love the Robin Williams Birdcage. That movie is amazing.
Yeah. Nathan Lane plays a very believable homosexual, oddly enough.
So here's a terrible thing I'm going to say. There's a movie.
Get your shot ready.
Okay.
I swear to God, it's Susan Sarandon and Meryl Streep and...
Speed Racer.
No. It's this love story where she's like, she goes out and she meets someone, and I'm like, it's like this weird, it's supposed to be this like weird tale. And I'm like, I think she's like falling in love with this 15-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And that's like the weird thing. I'm like, I was uncomfortable watching this. He's like, I love you. I don't care what the society says. And then she goes to like their work because she gets the insurance in another person's name because she has cancer and they're gonna fight for the rights. I'm like, why would you fight to marry a 15-year-old boy? And why is that like a movie I want to see? It turns out it was the girl from Juno. It was
Ellen Page.
I thought it was a 15-year-old boy, but it was really Ellen Page without makeup, just looking all. I was like, oh, the movie makes more sense now. It's about lesbians, not having sex with a 15-year-old boy. It was really creepy to me. The trailer was
one of those lesbians that looks like Justin Bieber.
Yeah, the trailer was almost done. I'm like, oh, I get it now. It's Ellen Page. It makes sense to me. It was awkward. It really disturbed me for the day. I saw the trailer. I'm like. Because why would anyone want to see this old lady fall in love with a 15-year-old boy?
15-year-old boys wouldn't want to see a movie about Susan Sarandon falling in love with a 15-year-old boy.
Yeah,
at least when I was 15, I'd love that story. It'd be inspiring.
Yeah. Well, when you were 15, no, I'm not. That's another bad rabbit hole. I'm just going to stop myself now.
Yeah, you don't want to go deep in that rabbit hole.
No.
95 and 94.
No, not that one either. Stop it.
Tort says 95, 94.
For Priscilla and Tuong Fu. Well, there you go. See?
And they were both released September 8th.
Ah.
Yeah.
There you go. So, I don't know. Which is a which pick?
I would go with Tuong Fu.
Yeah. Priscilla has Hugo Weaving, though.
I don't know. I just, like, they, if I'm remembering the movie correctly, didn't they do kind of like a Three Amigos thing where, like, the whole town dressed up as drags?
In Tuong Fu, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. They battle an abusive spouse by cross-dressing him out of town.
Yep. That's pretty legit. Yeah.
So, also in the Birdcage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how they get the senator out of town.
Yeah.
out of the Birdcage.
But this has Tuong Fu has a great like thrift store montage where they're all the whole town's trying to just get their fabulousness on.
I don't think I've seen them.
They're fierce.
I'm not seeing the other one. I'm not seeing the Priscilla one.
Yeah, it was the more artsy fartsy one.
Mm.
But it's funny. It's Australian humor, so it's very different.
Oh, speaking of artsy fartsy,
I was gonna say something about that. Go ahead. Sorry.
Speaking of artsy fartsy, I'm finally super glad that Bill Murray's newest artsy fartsy film. It's failing horribly.
It looks funny. Why would you?
It's an 8% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Why would you be happy with it?
I'm just so happy.
Bill Murray's amazing.
No, because he needs to go. He needs to do Ghostbusters.
No, his last couple movies were really good. He had the movie with
St. Vincent.
Yeah,
his last couple movies were good. But thing is, though, they're all artsy fartsy.
Yeah, so.
Yeah,
he does so good with. Well, nope. He's in a lot of the movies with
artsy fartsy, like Zombieland.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, he does.
No, yeah. He does a lot of Wes Anderson.
Yeah, Wes Anderson
does a ton of Wes Anderson,
which are good. Which are good movies.
Wes Anderson films. Off the top of my head, I can't think of a reason not to say Wes Anderson films are all amazing.
I don't find them to be. I like them.
They're all very well done.
I don't find them to be rewatched. I don't really get sucked into watching them multiple times. Like, I watch them once. I enjoy it. It's funny. I laugh. But I'm never, like, compelled to see them again.
I can see that.
To me, I guess probably what I'm getting at is it feels like the comedy is almost exactly the same, at least from the trailers. I have not seen the films. So it feels like they're just repeating. We're going to have enter quirky character here with little quirky character here. You know, and then just ad nauseum, just repeat, rinse and
you
repeat.
You like quirky, dumb shit constantly.
What?
That should be your wheelhouse.
No, that's not my wheelhouse.
Your life is Wes Anderson film.
What do I like that's quirky and dumb?
We don't have time for this.
Yeah. But the thing is, so Wes Anderson, that may be true, but that's just because that's his shtick.
That's his style.
It's kind of like... You know, if you're an AC/DC fan, you don't hate the fact that all their albums sound the same because that's what you want because you're an AC/DC fan. I mean, it's the same thing with Wes Anderson. Wes Anderson,
you like the goddamn dog show. That guy's all his shit. I can't even think.
Oh, yeah, Best in Show, the Christopher Guest.
You love all Christopher Guest shit, and it's all quirky nonsense.
Yeah, Wes Anderson is basically the non-documentary version of Christopher Guest.
Yeah, they're the same person.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh! Best in Show could have been a Wes Anderson film.
But if it's not Murray, artsy fartsy.
Mighty Wind sure is.
Mighty Wind is. No,
it's the artsier. It's artsier.
It's the artsiest of the.
Wes Anderson films, a lot of times they feel artsy fartsy. Like you see a trailer for like Moonrise Kingdom or whatever, but when you watch them, there's actually a lot of lowbrow humor in them too.
Maybe I'll actually have to overcome my fears and desires.
We'll watch Life Aquatic sometime. You'll like
it. Oh, no.
That's my least favorite of them. That one is horrible. I do still, I like it, but I...
Royal Tenenbaums?
Royal Tenenbaums is that's like the...
Royal Tenenbaums.
That I've heard is good, so...
The Life Aquarium, the one where the Boy Scout is... It's like the Boy Scouts and the girl.
That's the Moonrise Kingdom or Moonlight Kingdom, Moon Something Kingdom.
That's the one I like right the now. Least of his.
Yeah. Rushmore's the classic, you know, that broke through. But yeah, Royal Tenenbaums is probably the
best. I guess Bill Murray is
like Mr. Fox.
Is Bill Murray to Wes Anderson is the Johnny Depp Tim Burton. So I guess that's, you know, if you're going to make a movie, you're going to make it with him.
I'm actually sad the movie isn't doing well, because I thought it looked kind of quirky and fun, but if it's 8%, it can't be good. Nothing under 20% can be considered good.
The trailers for it have been just just atrocious to me.
Yeah.
They just keep on repeating that whole with him just yelling at a bunch of people lying down, smoking the water. And it just
no. Weird. One day you'll like that shit, the next day you won't.
What?
What?
I don't believe you.
Whatever.
I watched Housebound.
Hey!
Yeah?
Yeah, it's an emotional roller coaster.
It's crazy, isn't it? Have you seen Housebound? Did you really watch it? The Australian chick who gets
I told Raylene we need to watch this movie. I blind recommended it to you when I first heard about it. But then when it came to Netflix, I'm like, we need to watch this. So I put it on our Insta queue. I'm going to work. I'll be home, and then we can watch this. And I came home, and I started to play it, and we got like a minute in when she let know that she had already watched it. So I stopped it because I didn't want to watch it with her when she'd already watched it once. I'm like, we'll watch something else then. So I never got on to watching it because I was angry that she already had. I felt cheated on.
Spoiler. It's really good.
I'll watch it tomorrow.
It is. It's really...
You're playing Tales from Borderlands tomorrow.
Well, that's not going to take 24 hours.
That's true.
I'm not that bad at the Telltale games.
Yeah. Quitting in the middle of that movie is just a terrible idea after watching all of it.
We'll watch a few minutes.
It was literally like...
Okay,
gotcha. I'm not even I might be exaggerating when it said it was a minute in because it was probably less.
All right.
You would have got 2 minutes in going, man, that girl is a big wreck. I hope she takes her shirt off. Like, you would have been compelled to keep watching just to find out. Will she be naked or not would have been like, what kept you going. Well, no, you would have just went to Google and found that out right away. You wouldn't have continued. Duh. You would have paused the movie, found out that answer, then gone back to the movie.
Speaking of Raylene watching things on Netflix, I got home from us going to see Groot Battles People. And Raylene was there watching season 3 of your favorite show, Hemlock Grove.
it's a new final season,
third
right?
and final season, yeah. She was watching that. I came in and the giant Frankenstein monster little girl was walking around doing shit. I'm like, it's this show.
I'm really tempted to like watch season 2 and like 5, like watch episodes as fast. Because you can like fast forward and Netflix are kind of watch people moving super fast. See if it's any better that way. Or just watch like
where the final. No dialogue? Yeah. Where everyone sounds like chipmunks.
Well, no dialogue would really help that show, first of all.
Double speed their chipmunks. It's like when you get quadruple or higher that there's no dialogue.
Okay. Yeah, I think that would really help that show out. And I'm curious to like watch the last episode of the third season just to see where it went from like the beginning of off. Like, I want to see, you know, how far down the shithole they went.
I think season 2 ended with a goddamn dragon. Like, I'm 99% sure a dragon flew off with
some vagina. Lady.
Huh? Yeah, it might have been.
Are you thinking of Game of Thrones?
No. Although, this doesn't even necessarily count as spoilers because it only reveals something to people who have read the books. But they are filming scenes for the next season of Game of Thrones in an old tower.
Oh, yeah.
Scouted and are filming in a tower.
I guess I knew that was happening.
Yes. So I'm excited because it's about goddamn time, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Oh, is it something?
It's a flashback.
It's a flashback. So it's not like some kind of character that was supposed to be at...
It's a flashback of a scene that actually happened in the first book. Ned Stark is having like a fever dream when he's captured. And then he has this flashback to this event at a tower.
Okay.
So they're going to go actually into that. And I think they're like, I know why they didn't show it offhand, because I think it's going to go there was some hints of things that happened at the tower. I think they're going to go full on and just say this is what actually happened.
This event is very important to the plots of the entire series. And so not having ever shown the event is odd to book readers because it's an important thing. So I'm excited that they're finally filming it.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yep. And I won't go any further because the event should be secret and everything, but you know. Tower of Joy, motherfuckers.
And at this point, nothing really matters for the show because Morton's already said, the show is going to end differently. I mean, that's going to end in a way that he told them, but there's going to be so many minor differences and probably right. and they might even change some of the endings. So we're going to get to experience it, twice-ish, once when they do it and once when whatever author takes over from Morton does it.
Yeah. Well, and the show ending at the same place the books end doesn't matter because the ending isn't everything. You know, it's correct. Like if I fly someplace and you drive there and Andy takes the train and Brian drives also but takes a different route than I drive, the journey is part of it. So even though we all end up, you know, in L.A. or whatever, if he stopped at the Grand Canyon and I went down here and you took the whatever.
Yeah. You went to Waldrug.
I went up to Waldrug. He went down through Mexico.
Nothing has taught me that the journey is more important than the destination than so many crappy TV shows that end badly.
I thought you were going to ride a different wave on that one.
No.
It sounded like you were just explaining Mass Effect 3.
No, I let that go. But that should apply to Mass Effect 3 in some ways. It should be the same logic where if the journey was so good, the ending shouldn't. you know, be everything.
Mass Effect 3 is different because we were all taking different journeys to different places, and when we got like 5 feet away from all our individual places, we all got raped and then shoved into one spot. So our journeys didn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The journey is everything.
Yep. Yeah. It's about the memories.
And the porn.
I decided to go against your guys' advice and try to watch the rest of Heroes. I just finished season 3. And I'm pretty sure
is that the circus?
No.
That hasn't happened yet. Okay,
no, good. It hasn't.
That's season 4, then, I
that's
think.
American well, season, Horror Story, season
and
3.
And Heroes.
Wait, there's a season 4 of Heroes? I thought it actually ended at
no,
3.
No, it's all hero. It's all circus. It's a circus.
Wait, what?
There's a whole season of circus.
Oh,
I was just expecting as much as they ride and make it blatantly clear and hit you over the head with it that everyone's connected, that it's going to be every male character docking and looking down at their dicks and saying, we're all connected. That's what I think season 4 is going to be.
And a circus.
Okay, circus. So they're pitching the tent.
The actor who plays like the circus boss, there's a name for that, conductor at the train.
Ringmaster.
Ringmaster. I'm going with conductor.
I'm trying to figure out multiple docking.
Are you doing some Silicon
Valley
level calculations?
Well, because once one person's on top of a second
how
person,
many?
How does the third person go on top of both?
Well, two stand, one's laying down, the other two standing are holding another one at an angle.
How big of a turtleneck do you need?
Well, I'm just saying, because the third one has to come, like, for, once you're not
head-to-head,
well,
no one
head,
has to come.
Someone's coming from an angle.
Yeah, hopefully no one's coming from the angles.
The it's pressure
like,
build
it's
up.
Like Silicon Valley, the season finale of season 1.
Yeah,
they DTF. They were figuring how everyone in the room could jerk each other off. So they spent like 8 hours up all night with these diagrams how to figure out how a room could...
Is that how Mass Effect 3 ends?
Yeah, pretty much. But anyway, we're off topic. Was there a topic? I don't think it was.
No. We were topic. Fine.
We were flowing. Last thing I have noted them. Is Weird Al and piracy.
And that went into shows because people pirate shows that aren't available.
Oh, I ranted about yeah, piracy. Went, my piracy
yeah,
rant.
Yeah, and then it went into shows.
Yeah, so we should go to Zappity Grumbles.
Ooh. Zappity.
Have you ever read or listened to the Iron Druid Chronicles? And if so, what are your thoughts on it?
I think someone's recommended that to me, but I've not actually read it. The name is very familiar to me.
Likewise, same here. I've heard it.
It's on my short
list. Familiarity.
It's on my short list.
I'm also going to be trying to say these exactly how they're written as well. So
yeah, that sounded very grammatically awkward.
Yeah,
it is an awkward thing. Iron Druid.
No. The has you want to.
If so, want are your thoughts about
that
it?
That person was speaking my language.
It's swipe. I tell you, like you get crazy with swipe, and you just expect to do it automatically, and it just doesn't work that way.
I was so mad at swipe today because I was trying to do a word. I can't remember what the word was, but like I would do the swipe and it would be on the highlight in the preview, and then I'd let go and it would correct to something else. I'm like, you're even previewing it, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Zavity.
Grumble.
Two questions. Vic, Murph, Denny, Raven.
Two strategies. Think, Murph, no. Denny, Raven.
Funk, FMK, Morv, Denny, Raven. If you can make one wish come true for another podcast member.
Oh, I figured it out. Fmunk is fuck, marry, kill.
Ah!
So who's
Morvana, Denny, Raven.
Which Denny 1 or Denny 2?
Or
this
Denny
changes
3.
Things. Well, once you're at Denny 2, you kind of are down.
Well, no, I don't like pets. So Denny 3, you have to like...
Wait, her being a corpse you're okay with. It's only if she has a giant dragon that it's a deal breaker?
Yeah.
You do what you gotta do these days.
What?
So I'm telling you, when you go... never mind. No one knows what answers.
No one has answers.
No.
No, that's my deal breaker. I need to know if it's Denny 1. Because she's probably two of the three as long as she's not dead.
Well, and
if she's dead, she can't be the third one. So she's zero of the three if she's dead.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think like if the models are representative, like Denny 2 had a really rough time getting sculpted, I think. So then you'd have that problem too. If the models reflect what they look like.
I abstain.
Zavity.
Same. Grumble.
If you can make one wish come true for another podcast member, past or current, who would it be? Not yourself.
Our podcast?
I just...
Or a previous podcast?
Different podcast member.
Another member of our podcast. Any podcast.
Making one of their dreams come true. Mm-hmm. Like a random dream?
I don't know what any of you motherfuckers' dreams are. Yeah, you couldn't
pick a dream, really. I mean,
yeah.
That's the thing. I know the only person that I know that really has a dream is for Katie to not be buried under so much junk.
She's unemployed now.
Well, I mean, that's probably one of her dreams coming true then, so now it's scratched. Jeremy finding his brain like the
or balls.
Scarecrow.
Brian's dream is for the world to be destroyed, so I'm not going to vote for that one because I live on it.
Hey, the political parties are doing that for me. I can sit back and I'll do this. It's great.
So I think by default, I'm just going to vote for Andy to get to go to Dokken or whatever that music festival in Europe is.
We had a big discussion yesterday about that basketball player, football player, that sports guy who had
Lamar Odom,
who had 12 strokes.
Well, he had like he spent like $35,000 for like a weekend of like, you know, the whores,
yeah, debauchery.
And yep. We're saying like, you know, well, $35,000 to him is nothing. So if you could spend the equivalent of what $35,000 to him is for yourself, I mean, that's a great deal.
Yeah,
like, I don't know what I mean. It's probably like $7 our money.
For him, it's like going to McDonald's.
Yeah.
Like,
so if nothing. I could spend $7 for a weekend of probably higher end whores, I would do that all the time. That's my dream, is being able to have the cash money of, you know, the high end whores.
What's a dollar amount to per stroke?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was
well. He probably should have taken a little bit less of the Viagra.
Yeah.
But otherwise, his plan seems very logical to me. I'm just saying, other than the too much Viagra, he had a good thing going.
Yeah. I'll tell you my dream and then see if somebody says that they can grant it. I wish to have all the money that was lost in the world.
And that is an interesting dream because I've lost some money in some couches.
Yeah. Just I'm all sure the, it doesn't everyone. Seem like it's much, but it's it, going to be a lot of fucking money. Do you
get it in the condition it was lost in, though? Because probably like, not. That's a lot of blood covered money, a lot of semen covered money.
Yeah, but he'll have a lot of money to pay a cleaning crew to clean off his money.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to go to space.
I could send you to space.
I don't think you could.
We can find a balloon.
Start working on it.
We can find balloons.
Okay. I'm not going to guarantee alive. I will get you there. Bit by bit, if I have to.
You can wear a scarf.
Oh, thank you.
In space.
The weather balloon thing in Kingsman. Like
they got a guy to space and review. I don't like. I can give you that quality.
That's a good review. But like, it seems to me that like, couldn't you do that? And that didn't look that expensive.
They're starting to do things like that. That's not that outrageous.
And there's people who send up like GoPros up into space.
Yeah,
I mean it's generally it's.
Well, they
sent Oprah into space.
Yes, Oprah. Yes,
I thought you said Oprah too.
I said GoPro.
GoPro.
I heard Oprah.
And it was plural. There are people who send Oprahs into space.
Hey, if you had enough money, I think she'd be in a high on a short list of people you'd want to send to space. Just send her up there and, you know.
We already have some backers for Brian's backyard rocketry Kickstarter.
All right. That's cool. What a way to go.
It's a Billy Bob Thornton movie.
He'll play you in the made-for-TV movie.
It's a little insulting. On the other hand, he got Angelina Jolie, so good on him.
He was also in Fargo the first season.
Fargo, yeah.
Oh my God, Fargo is so good this season too. Zappity.
There's a lot more UFOs than I thought there'd be in it.
But there was just one episode.
That's a lot more.
The second episode also had they talk about the space thing and they had the little thing hovering at the end. There, the theme of the I think there's aliens as a character in the second season. It ended. Watch the end of it because as a thing is going out, they're talking about their invasion of the planet. I'm telling you, there's a very weird alien theme going.
I don't know if you're watching the same show because it was pretty much with him in the butcher shop.
The butcher shop, but then as it ended, there was the overvoice of the aliens talking about taking over the world, and they had the lights. It had all the lights from the saucer from the first episode. If you watched episode one, there's a saucer, right?
Yes, I did. I do remember seeing
and
the saucer.
And the colors of the saucer was exactly on top of the... Oh, you need to pay more attention.
A fucking saucer in Fargo?
There are aliens, and we're one of the characters this season in Fargo.
I'm confused.
A sober, so was I.
Zappity.
Grumble. Are you fans of 4X PC games? Explore, expand, exploit, exterminate? I don't know what that is. Like,
does it mean
like what type of game?
They're like StarCraft and stuff.
Oh,
like that.
Which is your favorite? Civilization is most popular. Okay.
Yeah, for the computer, though, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess Star Trek's a bad example, yeah, but...
I think it's probably in the same vein, but I love the Masters of Orion 2.
Yeah. That's a classic. I mean, Galaxy. What the fuck is it called? Galaxy
Truckers? No,
yeah. Kind of. But
Race for the Galaxy?
No. Fucking Galactic Civ is the big spin. Galactic Civ 3 is the most are the ones that are most close to that. I really, I wanted to, I need to get into Beyond Earth, which is the you know, the space version of Civ,
which is Civ 2 or Civ 4. Civ 4 has Leonard Nimoy doing voiceovers. Civ 4 with the Warlords expansion is my favorite of the XX. Not with the Beyond the Sword expansion with corporations and stuff. Civ 4 with the Warlords expansion, I love.
Before Brian goes, I'm going to just say this. One of the reasons why I don't play those games is because they're all about the micromanaging. Mm-hmm. And if you give me power to micromanage, I will micromanage and I will spend 3 days doing two turns.
The games nowadays really make that more... less micromanaging.
Masters of Orion 3, which is terrible, was interesting in that it had an ungodly amount of micromanagement. Like, you are galactic, you know, entire solar systems, but you could manage all the way down to, like, individual buildings on the planets. Like, it was absurd. But because that was idiotic, it was all automated to begin with, which meant in actuality it had no micromanagement unless you turned it on, which was pointless because it always did it the best way possible for you. Mm-hmm. And so it tried to do both, and it was terrible because it didn't do either well.
I don't know. I think I never really played a whole lot of them. I think the only one that I really gave a fair shake was like the Dawn of War series.
Yeah, they're not, but that's still more RTS than it is conquering the world.
Yeah. Well, then the Civ games are really all I've ever played.
Every so often I just get in the mood where I want to just build, conquer, you know, whatever I can, whether it's a galaxy or the world or whatever. It really it's a stress reliever because since I can't do that in real life, I can at least do it in a game.
Yeah, pretend you're a warlord.
There's a board game that's on Kickstarter right now that says that it's basically like it's a 4X style game.
Seventh Continent?
No, it's called Scythe. And so you know the anecdote I'm going to tell now because you're involved in it. So it's on Kickstarter and has like, you know, 3 weeks left or whatever because this was like, I saw it on like day two of the Kickstarter.
Got funded in 2 minutes.
Right. So I saw it and I'm like, this looks really interesting. I think I'm going to back this game. I'm going to buy this game. But I know Brian is a gung-ho guy. So I text Brian and I'm like, I'm 99% I'm going to back this game. So don't, because, you know, we don't need two copies. So you're like, I did it like 7 minutes into the campaign.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, fine then. You saved me $100.
Well, it's the guys who made Viticulture. It's also the people who made it have made really good games. Yeah. And it's good. So, yeah, it looks really good.
Is it, wouldn't like Rome... Total War, and that be considered kind of like one of those type of games?
No, because they're the RT. Well, the
Rome, it's kind Rome, of
yeah.
Total War games are kind of that way because you are building and conquering a universe.
Yeah,
but you're conquering the world in some certain time period.
And they have like the areas, and you like move your armies to different ones. Yeah, yeah. The Total Wars would be more like it.
You don't see every single battle in Total War. You just do like certain ones.
You could see everyone. I mean, you could see every battle. Yeah. You would never late game. Would you never finish it?
But the fact that it has like these spaces, you know, that you manage the commodities on, and then you move your army, whether or not you actually do the battle like in a Total War or don't do the battle like in a Civilization game, is kind of irrelevant. The bigger deal is that you have the commodities grid on the map and you move shit around and whatnot.
I'm trying to find a really good game like that to sink my teeth into right now. Nothing new. I Beyond Earth just got an expansion, which I've been tempted for.
Dominions 4.
What?
Dominions 4.
That's the game. That gave
me printed out a thing that's big that taught you how to play it.
Yeah. You did?
It is a scary deep game.
Yeah. So yes, Zappity.
Grumble.
Who do you think will win War Machine Weekend?
Not Nathan.
Probably not.
Nobody on this podcast.
No one on this podcast. I was going to go around. I wasn't just singling you out. I was just going to start.
I could win the LCQ with pigs.
Yeah, to be fair, you two are playing us, guarantee.
I went 3-0 last time with the pigs in the LCQ.
So, what?
But in the LCQ, well, I was at 3-0 before I finally lost my game. Right. I lost the fourth round of
the LCQ. I thought you were at 3-0. I dropped, motherfuckers. I could have won this thing.
Well, I would have been 4-0, except I can't count to 10, and I got true line of sighted because I thought I'd killed all 10 bile thralls. And I had like 50 extra attacks, and I didn't see the fucker behind something, and so I just wasted all my attacks, and then he purged and killed my entire army.
Yeah, I think that's just as a side. War Machine does that a lot to people where true line of sight comes up so much because we're so used to everything being out in the open that when you look, you fail to see that iris hiding out behind a building or that one unit member kicking around back there, especially when they're undead because they don't have to take a command check.
So you guys got this because you two are both, you're playing the LCQ as well?
Yeah.
So see, we're in it to win it. So someone at this table is going to win the LCQ. I'm willing to bet $1 on it.
All right. I'll get there. Sure.
Or Jake Van Meter.
He's dropping Legion, I heard.
Well, I can't tell if that was him who said it or if Zosha was hacking his account and said it. I had a message him yesterday. I actually had a message Jake. I'm like, because I was at Jeremy's and Jeremy was like rambling on about some Legion crap. I'm like, Jake, I need an actual Legion player's opinion on something. I need to shut Jeremy up. Please help me. So,
yeah, Jeremy's slowly seeming like he's coming back-ish?
A little bit more. We're playing a bit more. He's still unhappy with the state of the game. He's not a big fan of SKUs. And since the game is still dominated by SKU lists, he's not a big fan of it. It
doesn't help that one of the major players in Madison just absolutely loves SKU lists.
Well, yeah, because he's like, well, I can't go. His logic is if he goes to a tournament, he feels that his factions can't handle having to plot for Fist, EE, Doom Reavers, Gatsby 2, and Denny 1. He feels that he can't make two lists that encompass that. And because he's like, oh, these combinations. He feels Rhett can't do it at all. Maybe Rhett can't, but no one cares.
Wouldn't a Scion, like now that Rhett has the ability to ignore stealth because of the Thane,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a Scion massively increases the damage output. Like doesn't like a Scion doesn't blow EE off the table?
That's the issue is with the long gunners. The long gunners, they're not, I mean the range 14, which is really nice, but they don't have the POW. They only POW 10.
Well the problem when you say EE into Rhett, it makes me really like weird because first of all, I think all Rhett players think they can't win against that list because it's just too many boxes and the armor is just high enough to make their shooting ineffective.
Yeah.
But like, if Rhett plays towards the assassination, Kalandra isn't that hard to get because she doesn't camp a whole lot often. She's high defense, mm-hmm. but all if you have to do is knock her down, and that faction has so many ways to proc that easy that it's just I just don't see it. Like, I'd rather play runes into most Rhett players. Yeah.
So we basically gave him Rhett, and we were arguing with Legion for quite a bit, and Jake's like, well, yeah, you just take this and this, you're fine. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of like the, but it was kind of obnoxious. So he's still in the place where he's like, I always go to round three, then I fight Jordan and lose, because he thinks he runs in the same couple things. I'm like, well, you know, some of the stuff you don't see as much anymore. Like, EE is the one thing you're going to see a lot, because mm-hmm. Trolls is really popular, and that's just a really big faction, but a lot of the other stuff, it's...
Fail like, so two what? Feet turn with two Ravagors doesn't just murder Kalandra.
Yeah.
It doesn't, actually.
Because she's immune to fire.
Yeah, the fire.
She has to purify, but she has to be close enough to do it. But, like, you have so many ways to get immune to fire on her that's the one. If there's Ravagors in there, you might see somebody dropping EE in because, like, you don't lose for the most part.
Yep.
And, that I think like it sounds like what Jeremy's going through is maybe like self-defeating before he actually plays the game.
He's way into self-defeating.
But the one person Jeremy can always defeat.
Yeah,
is himself.
Yeah, no, he's really in a negative place. And I get the, you know, when you go to tournament and you, when all your lists have to be catered against this queue, because I mean that has lowered my enjoyment to some degree as well. So I don't disagree that's you know taking down a little bit of enjoyment. But if you still enjoy the game, you play the game, and if you just get good enough at what you play, you can overcome that. Because okay, so maybe you play against EE and it's the matchup isn't good. Well, then it comes down to the player skill. It comes down to the scenario. It comes down to the table. It comes down to positioning. There's ways you can still manipulate a bad matchup to make it not as bad. And there's still dice involved. There's maneuvering involved. There's terrain involved. There's, you know, you can't kill the army one by scenario involved. There's all sorts of things you can do. But once you're like, I almost never go, oh, I'm fighting that. I'm lost. I'm like, I'm fighting that. This will be insane. What are my options? Like, you know, you're immediately going through, what do I got to do?
Never give up.
Yeah.
Never surrender.
It is true. But then you sit down and go, oh, man, this event, everyone's playing double colossals. Like, there's things that just, like, take away the fun for me. Like, well, I can beat it, but I don't want to waste the 90 minutes playing it. It's like, I'd rather be home watching a TV show than play this game. So there's some of that stuff going on for him, too. It's like, why should I, you know, he just doesn't want to.
Especially if it's, like, round three and you're like, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there is that. So, but who knows? I think he's hopeful and excited that Mark III might shake things up a little bit. Maybe we won't see all these FA unlimited theme forces. We'll probably see theme forces, but maybe we won't see some of the SKUs exist as much, or maybe high armor spam won't be the flavor of everything.
Could be a steamroller try. I mean, they might try it in steamroller for a year to see if the going with no theme forces might be.
Why? Well, that's probably. I think the worst. I think if there wasn't such skewy theme forces.
Right. Well, I will always point out that Meat Mountain is not a theme force. Correct. So whenever correct. People talk skews are an issue, and they're like, "Well, just get rid of theme forces." That doesn't do it.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. Because you still have Meat Mountain. You still have Scar with 30 Bane Knights. Yeah. These are not things that go away by fucking with theme.
And
forces.
Scar with 30 Bane Knights is probably the most egregious of any of those lists out there. I think that's probably the hardest one to mess around with, like as far as the skews are concerned. But like the meta should try to correct itself sooner or later. But the problem is that the meta is skews, and the only thing that corrects that are more skews. So now it's just turned into a sea of skew.
And the one challenge is when you only take two lists. It used to be taking some balanced lists, you could catch a percentage of your matchups. Now two lists, your percentage you catch is slimmer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just harder, and then it gets frustrating. Like I think some people they want to minimize luck. And when you have to build two lists and hope you can capture 80% of the matchup, you know there's that 20% you have to get hope to dodge or have these tough fights. But when that 20% becomes 30 or 40 or 50, then it's like, I don't need to worry about this anymore. I'm not going to involve myself. But, you know, whatever. It's we'll see where things go. Yeah. But that's where his mindset is for the game.
That's the real reason why I think Runes and E is so popular, because that pairing just covers almost every single matchup that you come across. So,
and not all factions have the ability to have two lists catch that wide of a net so easily and be so effective.
Are we still on the marry, fuck, kill question? What's happening here?
It's happening.
I don't even know what the question was.
It's all right. We said War Machine.
Why haven't we sent Nathan in space yet?
Oh, fuck.
Do we have a big batch of them now?
Hyper mode.
Oh, fucking A Tort.
Hyper mode.
Triple ones as well. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I have a lot of recommendations, so we can't. That's an important
part. It's hyper mode.
Yeah.
Every question is going to be 4 second answers now. 1 second each, shout a question.
All right. Well, not 1 second each, but we can try to work it out. We'll do our best. How long does it take to become a PG? I've been running local events for a few months, and now I have a demo kit all painted. Well, you need a second demo kit painted.
And send in an application.
Wait. Yep, put in an application into Privateer and wait.
I never heard my first application, and then we got a new PG, and I resubmitted my application, and I got approved like literally within the week.
Yeah.
So. War Machine weekend might slow you down, so be patient.
Yeah, I think Quartermaster and former Quartermaster.
Quartermaster, so I have no clue under the new guy.
They're really fast on entries. I put in my thing for event and it got posted real quick.
Zebedee,
Grumble. If you have one, who is your favorite pro wrestler of all time?
Andre the Giant.
Mine is Macho Man.
Second best elbow in the game.
Now I can admit that Shawn Michaels has the best elbow in wrestling.
Mick Foley in all of its personas.
Yep, that's a good one.
Especially Dude Love.
Yes, Cactus right. Jack also. Zebedee.
Grumble. Have you looked any further into Guild Ball?
Nope.
I expect to see it at War Machine Weekend. Who is your favorite Scorn and Warlock? Wait, who is your favorite Warlock and Scorn?
I was like, that question hurt the brain.
Morgul 1. I keep almost picking up Scorn just to play Morgul 1.
Morgul 1 is the maze balls.
I like Mordekar. I just like the look of him.
Mordekar's amazing. I like casts with things, and he has like lanterns and all his...
I love that Ben Lang won a game once because his opponent killboxed himself by shooting at Mordekar with an arc spell and missing and being pushed out of the killbox. And this was when killbox was auto-loss.
Yeah.
So the guy's like, zoop, whoops, gone.
That's pretty amazing.
I like Rasheth.
Yeah.
Rasheth? Yep.
Zappity.
Grumble. Who would win in a fight between Matt Damon from The Martian or Matt Damon from Saving Private Ryan? Or Matt Damon from...
South Park?
Yeah, from Team America.
Team America.
Matt Damon from Team America.
Team America,
That one would probably lose.
No, he would win.
I don't think he'd win.
He's a winner.
I think he would lose and convince himself he won.
Matt Damon.
I love the story behind that. They couldn't get his puppet right, and so that's how Matt Damon became Matt Damon.
They kept trying to make a puppet that didn't look retarded in their words, and they're like, well, fuck it, we'll just make Matt Damon retarded.
Deputy
Grumble. Pet you would want to own if money wasn't an option and is guaranteed not to kill you?
Polar bear.
Pangolin.
The moon.
I think go with a panther.
Nobody fucks with you if you have a polar bear. That's all I'm saying.
I have a pangolin though.
Okay. we'll take them for walks together. All four of us.
Yeah.
And the moon on a leash. The tide's just, yeah, just fucking up everywhere you go. The swimming pools are shooting out of the bedrock.
That's adorable. Exactly. I know it's in the moon. I've seen Doctor Who.
Yeah. Yeah.
70.
Rumble.
That's actually a really cool scene in Thundar the Barbarian when they show him the, like, half the moon destroyed because it exploded.
I love in the animated tick, everything that kept happening to the moon continued to stick around for future episodes. So for like 2.5 seasons, it said Cha on the side. And then for the last season, it was missing a big bite out of the side. Good continuity.
All right, 70, Grumble. How much better would the new Star Wars be if Stormtrooper armor had nipples on it?
This isn't a Joel Schumacher film.
None better, Zappy.
Grumble. Nick Fury's Wacky Technological Adventures, the
Fuck
movie?
You.
Or should I contact Adam Sandler's agent and assume that he is on board? Or should I contact? So it's Adam Sandler as Nick Fury.
I'm sticking by Fuck You just for Nick Fury's magic card car.
You're just jealous you don't have a nice cool car.
The worst part of Winter Soldier.
I don't I don't have a problem with it. I'm not enthralled by
Sandler or Nick Fury.
No, it's that whole Nick Fury's magic car scene. It's like, why am I watching this shit? He's not Captain America. This isn't the Winter Soldier.
He's part of the world. I'm fine. Zappity. We're not getting anywhere there.
Should Butcher take advice from the superior version of Dresden and turn Bob into a regular human? Should Butcher take advice?
We all know what it said. Okay. We're all frozen in anger. All
right. Zappity.
Grumble. That's your response, motherfucker.
You know who these are, right?
Tort?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Australian. Forgive him.
Catbug's not an animal.
An animal?
I'd still want a pangolin or a catbug.
Zappity. I want a pet Stitch.
I don't want a pet that just randomly disappears into a different dimension and then comes back. I don't want that.
Okay.
So there. That is my reason I don't want Catbug.
I mean, Stitch would have been the proper answer.
He's an evil koala.
He's a mutant koala.
I was going to say Lilo.
Well, but what if the lady thinks he's a koala? That'd be
inappropriate. No, he's a dog. They think he's a dog.
Or a koala, she says. The lady at the shelter thinks he might be a koala. They can't tell.
Zavity.
Grumble.
Benedict Cumberbatch, better Batman than Ben Affleck?
I don't know yet. Ask me after the movie's out.
Yeah.
I'm sick of internet. God, I have to rant. Internet fucking theory links and Facebook. I need to stab every person who posts a link.
This guy will change how you look at Aquaman.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, and now there's this whole theory that Ben Affleck is not Bruce. He's in the new Batman. He's following the footsteps of
Christian Bale.
So he's not actually Bruce Wayne.
He's
Batman, but he's not Bruce Wayne Batman. He's the new Batman in that universe. That's the new whole theory going around the internet. But in general, just stop fucking this nonsense. You won't believe this information about Darth Vader. You'll see Star Wars in a whole new light. Fuck you. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you. I am literally like two more memes nonsense away from like just canceling my Facebook account. I'm gonna just close it and just uninstall and just keep it for the chat thing so I can occasionally, you know, keep touch with people. I'm not gonna be on Facebook anymore pretty soon.
Yeah. Those others are always just really stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they're the obvious. You won't believe that Darth Vader was Luke's father. You know, they're the extreme ridiculous spoiler. Anyway, I'm sorry, I ranted. Zappity.
Grumble. Or should they have gone with the obvious choice, with Gilbert Gottfried?
Gottfried would have been a great Batman.
He would have. Well, I would have liked him better as Riddler.
He should be in everything.
He'd be good as a duck. How good is the new Adele album?
Zappity?
Yeah.
It just hit shelves. I don't know yet.
None of us are single women who recently were dumped, drowning our sorrows in a pint of Ben and Jerry's. Why would we listen to Adele?
Challenge accepted. That's my music. I listen to while I'm building my rocket fuel for space. So, I just play Adele as I'm.
Tort says life goal achieved provoked Brian Rant.
That was Tort's question.
All these have been Tort's questions.
That was a mild rant, by the way. I could go on for an episode of my hatred of those. We're short on time, Zappity. I zappied myself.
Why wasn't Weird Al hit up to do the soundtrack for Force Awakens?
I don't know. There is a big push to get him in a Super Bowl this year, and they wouldn't do it.
That would be fucking amazing.
It would be fucking amazing. There is a pretty big push.
Everybody likes Weird Al. Like, that's the thing. Like, fucking do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will there ever be as a be a good be a Super Meat Boy game as good as Mass Effect 3?
I don't even understand. I can't even. I don't. Sure.
Super Meat Boy is already better than Mass Effect 3. So, yeah. Yes.
It makes more sense.
Yeah.
From what I've heard,
frustrating.
Is, yeah, the ending is probably more less frustrating than God. All right. Zavity Grumble. That's all it.
That's Twitter. That's everything.
That's Twitter's. So, right. Go to recommendations.
Recommendations.
I recommend a show called Murder in the First. I didn't know it existed, and then Raylene and I marathoned the first season yesterday, and it was very good.
When you posted
Murder
you
in were the First?
You were posted, you were watching a marathon. I'm like, is he fucking with me right now? I couldn't tell if you were trolling me or not with that response.
Yeah.
What's it on? What channel?
I think it was TNT.
Okay.
The first season we watched on either Hulu or Netflix. I don't know which one we were using at the time.
It's not How to Get Away with Murder.
I don't remember commercials, so it might have been Netflix.
Who was in what's happened with the theme? Is it a lawyer show?
It's kind of like Law and Order-esque because you have the cops and then the lawyers and then the criminal. So the good thing about it is the cops are Kathleen Robertson and Taye Diggs, and then there's the lawyers and everything. They arrest Draco Malfoy, this billionaire, for murder. And then so the scene's about his trial. And they do a really good job of – and I didn't realize how good of a job they're doing of it until – They jump around between the characters, and you see, you know, the defendant, and you see the cops, and you see the prosecutors, and you see the defense attorneys, and you see other witnesses, and it just jumps around between all the people involved in the trial. And they did such a good job of making care about all of them, and I didn't realize how good job until, like, during jury deliberations, I was like, I have no idea who I want to win. Like, I think he might be innocent, but on the other hand, I like these cops, and I was really torn, and so it made it very, very dramatic as the whole series went on.
And every episode was still like one crime, so it was like a different.
Yeah. The whole season is one contiguous thing, and I know that there's a season two that's coming out soon, so it'll probably just be the same cops and prosecutors and everything and a new crime because this is resolved in this season. So sure. I think it's going to be, you know,
some people watch like 7,000. Lawyer shows per season, and I like having like one in the rotation, so it's always, I think, for whatever reason, like that's a proper number that I can really enjoy. I'll have to check this out.
I really liked it. The one thing that annoyed me and almost was a deal break thing, just because he is, you know, he's a Mark Zuckerberg, like he's the, you know, a 25-year-old tech bajillionaire because he invented a thing. And in the first couple seasons, or not season, the first couple episodes to set that up, there's a lot of bullshit techno babble as all the young hip kids talk about their apps and everything. And I'm like, oh, these are all words the writers don't know what they mean. But that's over after like two episodes, and the series is really good after that. Cool. And it's good in spite of that in the first two, but that was definitely something that every time two 20-somethings were talking about Uncanny Valley and apps and shit, I'm just like, you're making up
words. That's well, why I can't stand.
A lot of shows I watch go, oh, I found this on the dark web. Like, I know they're going, like, they love the keyword dark web, so I know shows are going like, off the rails when they...
But once they, like I said, from that is done and gone after, like, episode two, because they just have to use it to set up his character. So, apart from that, it was really solid.
It's no Grindr.
I still like Grindr. Grindr's a like I said. I still like Grindr.
I was in the
It's no Arrested Development, but I have enjoyed every episode of Grindr I've watched.
I was in the hotel in my god awful trip, and I was happened to be on when Grindr was on. I like watched the episode. That was kind of funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't go home and throw my DVR, but I watched it. I laughed. It was amusing, and I moved on with my life.
I aim Check low on sitcoms. Yeah. You know what I mean? It isn't Arrested Development,
that,
but
yeah, exactly. That kind of a show is a very low bar, but can be funny.
Yeah, it's something to watch on Hulu.
It's also very meta. Like, the second episode, they even are talking... Because they keep talking about the show in the show and things about it, and they talk about, like, you know, oh, this, you know, introduce the new love interest and always changes things. And, of course, they do that the episode. They introduce a new love interest, and they talk about how the second episode is never as good as the pilot episode, and they talk about that during the second episode. And so it's very meta, which is kind of cute.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Meta stuff done right can be hilarious. Yeah. Or it's too many.
Who deleted Ray Donovan off the DVR?
So, Murder in the First has a lot of naked butts because they're on cable, so they're allowed to show naked butts.
TNT knows cable. Drama.
And it just a warning, there's a lot of, you know, as a heterosexual male, I appreciated all the naked girl butts throughout the series. And then Steven Weber from Wings shows his butt, and I wasn't expecting it. So just
I've seen his butts so often, though.
Okay, well, that's true. You're on that website.
StevenWeber'sButts.com is a top five.
It's .org.
All right, recommendation.
The one of the things that I guess has been new that I've been doing is using spackling paste when I'm basing my miniatures. Or not.
I'm glad you went that direction.
Well, no, I just like paste. I didn't. I'm not going to use Indiana Jones on you, but. If you mix that stuff up with your...
into walls, come on, jeez.
This is like, what? Where is he?
Indiana Jones, there is no sexual acts for that.
All right. Thank you, Andy. You saved us there.
Fridge, no.
Yeah, all right.
No, it's fun. Like, the problem that I see with people put dirt on their bases for their minis, like, it's all flat and uninteresting and just boring. But if you, like, mix spackling paste to kind of make, like, this big ball of stuff, you can kind of, like... wet it down and give it some texture to give it a little bit of movement. Mm-hmm. Plus you get like these flat areas so it doesn't look like you're standing on a bunch of gravel. I mean, like that's interesting stuff to me. So it brings a lot of visual interest to a mini if that's what you're going for.
Yeah, it makes it look like a little bit more than I just took some glue and then threw some gravel on it.
Yep.
That's one of the few things you've said that I found interesting.
Yeah, it's great.
I seriously, that was actually neat. I'm intrigued by that.
It's a really interesting deal, especially for someone who likes making terrain because you just give it a little bit
more. When I made terrain, I had spackling shit all over the place. I would always use it.
Yeah, it was fun.
Lucas wanted to make Indiana Jones a pedophile. True story.
No,
he did. So when they're writing Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, if you do the math, like he and What's-Her-Face had a relationship like a decade earlier, which made her like 16. And Lucas was really pushing Spielberg to make her younger.
But that was set in the 30s.
Well, if he's fucking a 12-year-old in the 30s, he's still a pedophile. It's just more socially acceptable.
If it's socially acceptable, it's not wrong.
If it's not wrong to be a pedophile and you're a pedophile, you're still a pedophile. It's just not wrong.
But how old is he?
Like 20-something?
Well, is it an age gap thing? It depends on... never mind.
Age divided by 2 minus 7?
Yeah, exactly.
Stephanie, please.
It's your turn. It's interesting trivia that Lucas wanted him to be a pedophile. Google it. I'm not making it up.
So we were talking about in the Zappity Grumbles, our favorite wrestlers. There is a documentary that came out last year. It's called The Sheik, and it's all about kind of the rise of the Iron Sheik.
It's a very short documentary.
No, it's not. No, it's actually goes back to the 50s, basically when the Shah was in power over there. Is basically when he grew up. Because he's an old guy, obviously, but how he most of his life was actually training Olympic athletes. He trained when he actually after the Shah or one of their big Olympic guys was killed over. Over there, supposedly he had a heart attack or something happened to him, but he obviously was killed. And then he left Iran, came to Minnesota, of all places. And at the college he was at there, he just he couldn't speak really good English at all, but he just taught people how to wrestle. And they ended up winning All-American Championships like 4 years in a row. Just absolutely dominated whenever he came into coaching power. And it kind of goes into his storyline, basically, when he first joined the WWF back then and how he got the belt, became like the biggest heel to give Hulk Hogan the belt to be the biggest face of the thing. And kind of goes over a little bit of his downfall as well because he got caught doing drugs and shit. And
damn it, Iron Sheik.
Yeah.
But calling out a wrestler for doing drugs shouldn't really be a thing you call someone out for. It's like, oh, you're a wrestler, you did drugs. Obviously.
Yes. Yeah.
But
surprise.
You're a wrestler. Here's more drugs. Sorry about Vince McMahon.
Please don't shoot your family and kill yourself. That's what we don't want you to do.
I don't want to give away the
if the ending the is him shooting his family and killing himself.
No. Spoilers. No. The odd part is though is that
Chris Benoit.
Which is much different than any other wrestler story that I've seen. His family stayed with him basically throughout the entire ordeal.
Yeah.
They did threaten to leave him basically when he was at his worst.
That's intervention.
But that's intervention. Yeah. But I mean, like, you know, most of the time you always see that's the ex-wife that's always doing the interview there. But no, she's been with him for all these years. It's a really cool documentary. Even if you don't like wrestling, it's cool to to see what they
good
what
documentaries they are good even if you go into them not giving a shit about the topic.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a big documentary person, but there have been a few. I've turned a channel, a documentary was on, and for whatever reason it hooked me, and I watched it, and I'm like, I don't care about the topic, but that was interesting. Like, you are right. They can somehow just
suck
you into something.
Yeah.
But I also don't like knowledge. Sometimes they give you information that scares my brain.
Right.
He just has, it's just a lot of, it's just a good story overall for him. He's also insane. If you ever listen to or read his Twitter stream.
Was it a WWE one? Because that's the problem with some documentaries. Is there's a documentary. If it's really a documentary, I'm like, okay, now I need to spend the afternoon fact checking that fucking thing. Like sometimes you watch it, you go, that was compelling. Now I need to go see what this was bullshit and like spend like four hours on.
I don't think it was really that bullshit because they didn't have any real WWE presence in it. It was really all independent.
Which probably makes it more accurate.
They had some of the stars in there too. I mean, they had Mick Foley on there too. Yeah. They had The Rock. Obviously, Nikolai Volkov was there too. It didn't really seem like that there was a lot. It looks like it was all coming really from him and his family.
Cool.
It's an amazing documentary. I liked it a lot. Netflix, yeah, that's where I found it.
I have two recommendations.
Cheater.
One's a board game. I got my board game, my Kickstarter copy of Blood Rage. Eric Larson made it, who he made Chaos in the Old World. It is a Viking-themed area control game that's basically taking place during Ragnarok. So you're having Vikings come on and pillage it. Basically, your Vikings are constantly pillaging and dying, and you want to die during Ragnarok. You want to go to Valhalla, and we played it a couple times yesterday. It takes no more than an hour and a half to play. It can go up to five people. The game is just super stellar. The miniatures are amazing. The rules are very, very straightforward. There's a phase one where you draft cards. There's phase two where you have the action resolution phase where you take turns taking action, spending action points. And then you have kind of the cleanup resolution phase. And you go through three full rounds of that and the game is over. It's quick. It's brutal. It's very thematic in the Viking world. And it's pretty awesome. I will have it with me for War Machine Weekend.
I definitely want to try that.
Yeah, it's really good. I will probably bring it on. Not this Monday because this week we finish up our Eldritch Horror shenanigans.
Finish up?
What?
We're not going to play that like forever.
Well, we could. I wanted to just bring out horror theme stuff for all of October. But anyway,
horror themes.
Horror theme. Oh, that's a good theme.
Horror themed games.
The second second recommendation. This is the fifth time I'm recommending part of this. Tales of the Borderlands Part 5, the conclusion episode, came out, dropped last week, and that is completely done. Nathan hasn't played it, so I can't go into too many spoilers. I'll spoil only half of it.
That sounds fair.
But I'll just say this. I felt that it was a brilliant conclusion. And in my opinion, the best of the Telltale games was the fucking Fairy Tale one, which I suddenly can't think of the name of it.
Wolf Among Us,
I thought was my favorite. Even though I liked the first Walking Dead a lot, and the second Walking Dead was good, and some of the other stuff is pretty decent. The Tales of Borderlands, it's so good. It's written so well. It's so goddamn funny. It's actually, for a Telltale game, it's actually the most dynamic in some ways. You have less choices sometimes than you do in some other games, but some things, like you have complete sections of some games are completely different based on your choices. Like in Walking Dead, you'd pick A or B who lives or dies, and it would change some dialogue, but really the same things happened.
Yeah.
Where a couple of the later episodes on this really, like I'm excited to play through the whole thing now. And it ends on a high note. It's a ton of adventure. If you like Borderlands and you like Telltale games and you're not playing these games, you are a fucking idiot.
Because it's amongst the best of both universes.
Yeah, it continues. The Borderlands
at its best,
and the Borderlands were. It actually takes place after Borderlands 2, although it ties into the pre-sequel 1 and 2, and it actually advances the Borderlands world storyline in many ways.
Some of the things that happen, and well, obviously one particular thing that happens, and like Brian and I are both like, well, that's canon now, I guess. You know, there's big things. Like,
yeah,
you care about the Borderlands mythos.
Yeah.
It is essential.
And a couple really crazy things happen in the final one, and it's just so good. So if you love Borderlands and you like those style of games and you're not playing it, you are just doing yourself a disservice. It is so good. Each episode is like $5, so it's like $25 for the whole thing. You can sometimes get them on sale for less.
You can get it for cheaper. I was just looking at it over on the PS4.
Yeah.
You could just get the season pass, which is episodes 1 through 3, and then includes 4 and 5.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and what is that, like?
15 bucks.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's basically 3 hours per episode, and you're going to want to probably play through it probably twice because you're going to, because there are enough changes and enough choices that will make the game so dynamic. It's so good.
It is very good.
Somebody's bringing up something that might swing you back around if Telltale would actually make a Mass Effect game.
I would try it because it's, I would, well, because it's made by, first of all, it's not made by BioWare because fuck them to the death, to the graves. But Telltale, they actually, I haven't played their Game of Thrones. I'm going to do that next time. They have a Game of Thrones that's complete. I'm going to play.
Did that complete already?
Yeah, it's complete. Okay. The Telltale Game of Thrones game is complete. I'm going to play through that.
That's next. The one I haven't played, and I don't know. Have you played it at all?
Nope. I'm not telling you. Yeah, so I was waiting until it was done. I had some friends who played it, and they thought it was okay, but.
How long is that taking? I feel like that came out years ago.
No, it came out almost the same time as It came out almost the same time as the Borderlands.
Yeah,
did it? It got done before the Borderlands one even.
Okay.
And what are they doing next? Wasn't there some crazy announcement that's coming out next year? I thought.
Well, they're doing right now the Minecraft story mode.
Yeah, the Minecraft story mode, which is just ridiculous. But that's
it looks like it'll be fun.
I'd probably try that. I would never play Minecraft. I'll probably Telltale Games has got me to the point where if they make a game, I'm going to play based off the quality of what they do.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, that's why I gave Wolf Among Us a chance. I'm like, I don't know anything about the series, but I've enjoyed their other games, and I played it and fell in love with that thing. So they're on a roll.
Yeah, I'm just looking at...
It's Patton Oswalt is the main character in the Minecraft game.
Yeah, I'm just trying to Brian. See what...
Oh, nice. I didn't even realize Chris Hardwick was in Telltale Games. He's been
his character's been in every single episode,
and I mean the voice was familiar, but I keep forgetting people actually use Chris Hardwick for anything other than like, you know, random internet nonsense now.
The Walking Dead or The Talking Dead
has picked up so well that he actually is more mainstream to like things now.
Oh, I didn't realize this was Delta because I was looking to try to find what they did. I didn't realize there was a Jurassic Park game that my stepson played like 4 or 5 years ago, and I just now found out that was a Telltale Games one.
Yeah,
but I don't think that one is really as episodic. But
no, and the Walking Dead's really when they hit their stride. I'm all in. But I cannot say enough good things about Tales of the Borderlands. It's probably my favorite game of this year, easily.
I'll have to give them a try. I've never tried anything from them.
Yeah, the first couple were much less choice driven. It was just dialogue driven. But I was just laughing after it was just so. I mean, some of the enjoyment does come from being a Borderlands fan, but it's still well written, funny, regardless of some of the references. I don't think you need to know all the references to laugh at something that's funny. Mm-hmm. Obviously, in jokes are in jokes, and it adds to the next level. But you know,
I still really want to. I know it's going back in time, though. I still really want to play throughout all of Borderlands 1. And play all the expansions. I've heard so many good things about a couple of the expansions of that being really good, and I
played the Undead one, the Halloween one, which was amazing. The Borderlands 1 Halloween.
The Borderlands 2 or Borderlands 1?
Borderlands 1 Halloween. But there's a Borderlands 1. It's the weird thing for me, I got Borderlands 1 and I played it, I beat the game, and then I was gonna go to the DLCs, but all the DLCs except for the one that I played were all like 8 levels higher than my character was. Like normally when you get the DLCs it launches at the exact same level. And I didn't feel like just gaining 8 levels. It's not that fast to gain 8 levels in that game in a couple days, but I just didn't feel like doing it.
Don't know if this is what you guys were talking about and trying to remember or not, but I just pulled up the wiki on Telltale Games, and the last section in their history, it says Telltale announced a partnership with Marvel Entertainment to develop at least one game based on a Marvel Comics property in 2017.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't think it was that.
Yeah.
I could be mixed up, but they're on a roll.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. The only other thing it has is Walking Dead Season 3 in next year.
Yeah, and I'm sure they'll expand. I mean, I'm sure that they'll keep their licenses with Borderlands and Game of Thrones are good and people liked them, which I'm pretty sure the reviews have been good on those. I'm sure they'll, as long as it doesn't cost them too much to keep the license, they'll keep making games in those universes.
All right. We call it quits?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for watching/listening.